Hey, Good Fox here. Today we got Muttmen episode number 118, and I'm joined as always by my man, Texas Boy. How are you?
Doing good, Mr. Foxy. How you doing?
I'm a little tired. I don't know why I've been sleeping lately, but that's not about that. I'll try and really jazz it up for the pod. Hopefully we don't take this one to 2 hours, because I will literally be on the floor at that point. Tex, how's been your week? How have you been sleeping?
I've been sleeping great, actually. It's been hot here. And usually when it's hot, I get uncomfortable. But luckily, we got an AC unit. So I've been turning that on, going to bed, and just sleeping great. Except for when I actually got to be up. It's weird. When you got to be up early in the morning, you can't sleep. But when you ain't got nothing, no responsibilities the next day, you go to sleep early. I don't know how my body works like that.
Maybe it's the pressure of getting up early that gets to you, the anxiety.
It's not even that early, though. I get up every day at 9:30 anyway. I don't know why I'm over here like, I can't go to sleep. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. But when I do sleep, I sleep good.
Nice. That's important. The AC, and you're used to Texas heat, so Colorado heat, that's nothing to you.
Well, it's a little different, right? Because Texas had humidity, which I actually prefer than the Colorado's just dry heat. But really? Either way, I lived in a place where I don't want to go back to where I did not have. It was like 90 degrees in the house at all times, and I can't go back there never again.
That's so strange that you prefer the non dry heat. Like that's the first time I ever heard that.
Humidity is like great for your skin. It's great for your hair, and I have a lot of hair. So like when it's dry, I gotta always have it like conditioned. Always gotta have moisture. Like what do you call it? Hair grease. So it's just like I really don't want to have to put this in every single day. Yeah, that's kind of what I have to do.
But then you're moist at all times.
Like when it's true. It's true. You are kind of a little moist and a little sticky. But it just I don't know, it just feels better to me. And also just like easier to breathe in the in humidity than it is like dryness, straight dryness. So.
I prefer
that whole southern heat compared to. That's why when I get this check, bro, I'm gonna go right back to Texas.
Wait, what check?
When I cash out on YouTube.
Are you gonna sell your channel and cash out that way?
Basically, yeah. My channel's up for sale. If anybody wants to buy it. I mean, like it's dead right now, but like it'll revive back up in Madden 19.
How much are you selling it for?
Whatever the person offers me. Like the best offer I get. I can't really put like a price out there right now, but like best offer,
$1 a sub.
I would probably have to sell and start over.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be a pretty good deal.
Maybe some NDA and I can't fucking compete.
It'd have to be something like that. All right, hey, to introduce our guest who would be great, Moist Bengal. How are you?
Doing well. I'm doing well. Happy to be here. I actually really like doing the podcast. It's up there.
Yeah, we heard the feedback after having our last CFM YouTuber on and the razzing that one of our co-hosts got from you about inviting your rival on and not you.
My rival?
Yeah. You and Mr. Hurricane. Like, I feel like we should put all CFM men and YouTubers into like a cage. And just do like a big cage match, and last one out alive gets every single channel. Would you take that home?
I'm a passive guy. You guys know me. Never get into anything.
Yeah, but you never want to corner the Bengal.
That's true. But what if I ran against a hurricane? What wins in that one? A tiger or a hurricane?
I guess are we talking like Cat 5 hurricane?
Yeah, you might as well.
But you're like a Cat 6.
Well, cats always Bengal. Land on their feet, though, right? So you would just be fine. You get thrown in the air and land on your feet. You're good. Hurricanes come and go, and they're not there all the time.
Exactly. Whereas, like, you're the last one. Only when water's
present.
Yeah.
So make sure there's no water, and you'd be good to go.
You might be onto something.
All right, we're off the tracks. Yeah. Hey, so, all right, let's get into I'll run down the agenda before we get into the podcast. So I want to talk about, Bengal. We'll talk a little bit about him and his love life and whatnot. And then we're going to talk about summer blockbusters. I actually reserved 10 minutes on the podcast for Tex and Bengal to fight about the NFL because that just happened, so I set that aside. We're going to talk about Madden 19's franchise mode and the videos that Bengal's been putting out on that from EA Play. We're also going to talk about Fight Club for a little bit and the Fight Club forums. The Madden 18 versus previous years, and it's like a favorite promo versus our least favorite promo. And then Mutt Rewards, what's up with that? The overall formula Tex wants to talk about, and whatever kind of pops up in our head. But basically, this podcast is going to be focused a lot about like next year's franchise mode, and if that is going to be like the main focus, and Mutt's kind of taking a back seat, like it kind of feels like. So, Bengal, talk to me. Let's move franchise mode up first. What are you excited for franchise mode next year more than you were going into 18 and 17?
I think, you know, as a content creator, you get more excited for the potential content that you're going to create on your channel rather than the gameplay as itself. So, you know, every year going into the new game, I'm excited about, you know, the potential for new content and new features and things like that. But I think with this year, they've made some fundamental changes. I think 17 to 18 was, I mean, basically the same exact mode. Almost no changes whatsoever. I can't even really think of one offhand. But this year, they at least made it more aesthetically pleasing, which is a big thing to me. And they added those 3D hubs where you see the players. And I think that's a lot better to look at. And they added a new upgrade system. And custom draft classes are finally back. I can say that now, which, you know, super pumped about. So I think it's going to be really good as far as content creation goes. There are going to be a lot of opportunities for new types of videos that I wasn't able to do last year.
Oh, like, do you want me to ask you about what kind of stuff you're going to do? Or is that kind of like you want to keep that close to the chest?
I will see what happens when August rolls around.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it's just basically going to be a lot of rebuilds and stuff, right?
I'll definitely have a few of those on the channel.
I gotcha. So it's weird because, you know, we have a lot of content creators and we've had a few fans on the podcast too. So we talk about a lot of this stuff and if we're excited about it as content creators, because the game sometimes feels the same year to year. I mean, that's one of Madden's biggest, I think, struggles is differentiating themselves from version to version. As content creators, we get hyped because of everybody else's hype, and then they'll be out searching for videos on franchise and how to bring the 0-16 Bengals, Browns. Yeah, sorry, Bengal. Browns to the Super Bowl and whatnot, and people watching their videos. But, like, as a fan, not as a content creator, as a fan, are you excited for this year's franchise mode?
Is there a pass option?
Yeah.
No.
Texas? Okay, yeah, go on, Bengal.
No, I mean, like, I like, you know, it comes down to I wouldn't be doing YouTube if I didn't like to do what I was doing. So I think, you know, it's going to be good. I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun. But I'm trying to stay away from the beta as much as possible. I haven't really played it at all. I don't want to get burned out.
You got most of your juice in on the EA Play version?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Tex, from your opinion, as a fan, do you play franchise mode?
Depends on who's asking. I'll play like the CFM with other people. But I don't really dabble in it as much as I probably should. Only because I'm not really... I don't know how to do trades as like well as these other guys. I don't know how to exploit the system and like have fun doing it. But I'll play like a franchise. I wasn't one for the past two seasons, except until this past one where my Xbox couldn't play online.
Oh, you lost Xbox Live?
No, I had Live, but it was that content update issue that was going on around where you had to uninstall the game every time it came out so I can actually play online.
Just admit you got banned from online Madden because you were swearing at people too often. Just admit it.
It could be possible. I did get my account suspended back in the day for cussing somebody out. So it's possible that they came back like 15 months later. Like, yeah, here you go. We're going to go ahead and ban you now. But it was that live constant. I don't know if you guys experienced that where you had to download every single week. And then if you didn't download it, your game would lag online. That's how EA countered you for not actually doing it. Like, it's an update. Either force me to do it or don't. Don't give me the option, and then get mad when I say no. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't play it all this year. I might get back into it this year, but the whole running and setting up of it, I don't want any of the responsibility. So if anybody out there wants to do a franchise, man, wants to do all the work for no pay, then I'll join.
Why would you say no?
To what?
To updating your roster.
It's not the roster. Well, it's sometimes you don't need it, and sometimes you
don't
need
it. It takes like 3 seconds to download, though.
Yeah, mine wouldn't download.
Oh.
To make it download, I had to uninstall the game and reinstall it. So I had to uninstall a 40-gigabyte game every week to basically play online.
Ouch.
I'm good. That's why I didn't play it all this year. That's why I didn't play the Xbox this year, because that's because of that issue.
That was a known issue, and EA just like let it slide.
Well, they fixed it because they fixed it recently. But that's one of the it was on Xbox and PS4. I uninstalled my PS4 game I think twice, and on my Xbox it was every time. But it only happened on the Xbox S. If you had the regular Xbox, I was told, I think, by an EA guy to just play on my regular Xbox. Hmm. I was like, I'm good. I bought this one to play, and I'm good. But yeah, it was only an issue for the S, apparently, and then everything. Because that's that whole that thing where they, what was that? Where they played differently on different consoles? And that's what I was part of that whole not conspiracy, but that whole issue where it played better on the PS4 Pro than it did on the PS4. Yeah. And that's kind of how it was with the Xbox, where it played better on the Xbox than the Xbox S.
I've only got the original, but yeah, I did hear the issues with that. So, well, I mean, you know, that just goes down to EA and Madden not being able to port their games over to different systems, which brings us to the PC version. Now, Bangle, are you going to try the PC version for Franchise? Is that going to help you create content easier?
I run everything off a laptop, so I really don't think it would run efficiently. I have one monitor and all that, like with, you know, for PS4 or Xbox or whatever. I don't think it would be beneficial for me to start doing stuff on PC, but it's been something I would been asking for a while before I got back into making videos, because I just think it'd be more fun to just be able to edit a bunch of stuff easier, have mods or whatnot, and, you know, use my laptop in bed if I wanted to and play Madden that way.
What else do you use your laptop in bed for?
Porn.
You're honest. No. Bangle's not about that.
I'm asexual.
You've never been kissed on the lips, right?
On the mouth.
Yeah. What's the difference between your lips and your mouth?
I don't want to get into semantics on this stream. this is my private life, okay?
Oh, do you have lips in more than one? Are you like somebody with like a third nipple? You've got like a second set of lips.
I have labia, is what I'm getting at.
That's the kind of hard-hitting journalism you'll find on the Muppet Men podcast.
I'm transitioning. Everyone knows this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old? 60-year-old lesbian? Is that what you? That's what your claim is?
Yeah, I'll be 60 in the fall.
Oh, gotcha. Isn't that your classic? Well, you've got a few classic lines.
What do you mean?
About you transitioning into an old lesbian, and then
to me, but I'm down to go along with it.
Really? I could have swore I've definitely seen this before.
I think you just get that impression from me.
Fair enough. What about the... I thought you were going to be 38 in the spring.
That's true, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, this is off the track. Hey,
what do you think? If people don't know what you're talking about here, they're so confused.
I'll just cut this whole part.
This is good. No, this is good for the five people that get the joke. Like, leave it.
Okay, for the five people, we just lost 100 viewers, but five people are chuckling lightly.
All you gotta do is fast forward if you don't get it.
True, that's true. But more
not anymore. It's over now.
Yeah. See you guys. Yeah, that was a good podcast. Anyways, hey, what do you think of the archetypes and the improvement system this year, where they don't allow you to actually improve the stats that you want? They just decide it for you based on archetypes.
I mean, you're pretty much still deciding what attributes you want to do. It's just, you know, being bulked at the same time. I'm kind of mixed on it because on one hand, you know, target multiple groups of attributes at once, which I do like. But it's pretty much capped onto how much you can improve at one time and how many skill points you can get with the default XP sliders. So pretty much, at best, doesn't even matter about development trait, in my opinion. But if you have superstar development, which is the highest one you can get, it seems like the most amount of experience points, skill points you'd be able to get is 3, which equates to exactly no more, no less, 3 overall. So if you have an insane season, and you know, say you break every record for your certain position, so you're running back, let's say, touchdowns and yards in the same season, you break both records, and you're a rookie with superstar development, and you get 3 skill points, and you're a 78 overall, you can only improve to an 81 after breaking every record. It seems that part I don't really like too much.
Well, that's always been a weakness of Madden, is no matter how well you do on the field, they cap the amount of points they give you to improve season to season. So, like, in real life, in Madden, your rating next year would be like 90s if you did something like that.
Yeah, I disagree with you about that last part. In previous years, you could get a ton of experience points if you got specific awards. If you got MVP, if you got Offensive Rookie of the Year, that's like 60,000 XP right there.
Yeah, 60,000 XP for, like, if you're trying to improve a speed point, that's 40,000 XP points.
You can't really, you know, improve physical attributes like that as much as you can other ones, like zone coverage. If you're a cornerback with 97 speed and it's going to cost 80,000 XP to upgrade, you don't really even need it. And, I mean, in real life, and I hate to bring it back to that, but how many players get faster year to year versus upgrade their zone coverage?
It depends on how sneaky they can be with steroids.
True, true.
So, like, I mean, what, David Boston back in the day, he got quite a bit more physical.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was good for, like, what, 2 years? He went off.
He blew off one year. Yeah. Carlos. Oh, yeah. And then he got injured the next year because of steroids. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that it can be done. And so, like your example was going from a 78 to an 81, if you're a rookie and you break all these records in old Maddens, you're not going up to a 95.
Yeah, you are.
You break records, you go from 78 to 95?
Yeah, you could, yeah. If you have superstar development and you get all these awards and you get all this XP. I played so many seasons of franchise. If you consider all the rebuilds that I do, which are at least 3 to 4 seasons, and you say I've done probably about 50, so I've done 150 plus different seasons of franchise, I've seen it a ton, which is more than the average bear.
Yeah, I definitely understand that part. I definitely do not have any experience in the recent franchise quite like you, but mine's all based on older franchises. Here's another thing with that. Do you think backups progress like they would? Like, do people develop as backups like they should?
No, they don't really at all, except for backup left tackle in previous years, which I don't understand. I think it's a glitch, like with long snapper. If you put someone as your long snapper, they can make the Pro Bowl somehow, and they'll get XP that way. But if you want to say in real life how you'd, you know, sit a quarterback, like we'll say Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre situation, you know, Aaron Rodgers progressed because he's playing underneath Brett Favre and he's getting better year in and year out without even playing. If you did that in the game, they wouldn't even move up at all. Practice every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have practice modes and stuff where you can get XP if you're not playing. But I think that's
only for specific players, right? You can only do that for a few players on your team. So
you're also eligible to get poached if you leave them on there. So
that's practice squad. That's not really what we're talking about.
That's how you get like develop players as well, but you can't put your best players there. Somebody will take them.
Practice squad to me felt like almost useless last year.
Why is that, Bengal? Explain that.
Sorry, I don't. The players didn't really get any XP, so they're just sitting there being there. That's all they're doing. So they added the new feature, but all it is aesthetic almost. No player sitting on the practice squad and ever would be capable of seeing the field, in my opinion. This could be, you know, different for other guys because, you know, I play the mode differently than some do. But for me, no one ever on the practice squad would even be worth re-signing or looking at any point during the entire course of the franchise.
Why does it feel like this stuff is like so easy to see, but EA doesn't seem to be able to find it?
It's not necessarily about that. It's about dedicating resources to different departments. And, I mean, when there are other issues game-wide and mode-wide, I don't think you're really going to worry about something that's insignificant. And I don't think practice squad in real life is even that huge.
Well, just kind of sit all there. All these insignificant things seem to add up to a pretty significant look at the lack of depth and detail in franchise mode and in the game in general.
Yeah, they can.
So, like, we can say, oh, that's just a small little detail, who cares? But if you say that 1,000 times, you're like, well, the small things end up mattering after a while. Like, the small things is what make us fall in love with a game. So the fact that a game just kind of, like, puts these broad strokes, oh, here's a practice mode, but there's nothing, like, no depth there. There's nothing there to really, like, engage with. It's just like, okay, a couple extra roster spots that can be used and poached by other teams. And it's like, yeah, sure, that's, like, in the NFL, but it's like they decided just to do, like, the bare minimum effort. They're much like my YouTube channel. Why is EA taking after me and not taking after somebody like you or not the expert or your boy Pizza or somebody that actually put some effort into their editing?
Did you include me into that category?
You goddamn right I did, Bango.
Wrong. But yeah, not the expert in pizza are great examples.
I just saw your edited video today.
Oh yeah?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think so. We talked about this before the podcast.
Why you got my man the bus?
You told me before the podcast, yeah. All right. Sounds good, Bango. So Tex, let me know what you think about franchise mode, and it's basically its depth and how it relates. You're more of an expert on Mutt, but is that something like, do you see this all over the game, kind of like the fingerprints of the lack of depth of the features they put in
all the time? Yeah, I feel like they could do a lot of stuff with it. I feel like I'm more of a little details guy than a big details guy. The gameplay, they can only do so much with it, obviously, and so they should just give you a more immersive experience, that way you can actually run the franchise how you want to. And I think that'll go a long way because, again, you're not really going to do much to increase gameplay because there's a lot of stuff that in Fight Club 19 that we're going to talk about later on that's like, yo, this is a different, this is a year, like 9 months different, and it's a different game. Or at least some things play differently. And so I would rather have them spend the resources on dedicating a team to fixing the XP stuff so people can actually develop, so you can have guys on the bench that may get some experience as opposed to having your main starters in the entire season. And then if you're like doing simulation stuff, like if it's a blowout, the backups come in to get experience, but instead your starter's still staying out there in the field. Just creating a system along the lines like that, that'll end up like over time getting people more into the mode because they'll have more control. All about more control and more depth. And it seems like they may take the first step in the depth for a franchise going into 19, except for the fact that the only thing that I've seen that is different that I don't like right now is the fact that they have those weird loading screens. Where not only the coach in the background is running around the office.
Nobody asked for hilarious.
That. Nobody asked for that, though. nobody was like, you know what? We're going to have the coach back here. That's not the depth we wanted. That's a waste of gigabytes and a waste of resources dedicated to a coach looking like a buffoon on a tablet.
Like, looking at John Gruden completely perplexed by his phone. Like, he'll look at it and be like,
look at this tablet and make a phone call. Like, hey, nobody, like, what is that? It's cool to look at, but that resource could have been used on, I don't know, making XP. For making practice squad better, and allowing us to have more control over the players.
Practice
that we can
squad
sign.
Is not an issue,
huh?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with those backups and that image stuff. Like, how long does it take to animate a coach? Like, does that take a lot of resources? Does
it,
that take
it
them?
Can't. It can't.
You say
you
that.
Think so?
You
I
say
don't
that.
Think so
I mean, look at the gigabyte difference between this year and last year's, man. This is a beta. It's like, I think it was like 11, like maybe 12 gigs more than last year. So the beta basically is a full game.
I don't know what you're talking about, beta.
Well, I can talk about the gigabytes. So I think last year's mat was like 40 gigs and this year's is like 50.
It was like 45.
Something like that. 45 last year?
Something like that.
I think it's like 50. I think it's 58. It's much more, and I think a lot of that comes with those weird packages of coaches looking like idiots.
They can compress that though. That's not going to be a whole lot. That's not going to be a ton of gigabytes. Like compressed into, I don't know, a couple. I wouldn't even say that's a gigabyte versus with action.
You want to say that's a gigabyte?
That's all compressed and stuff. Like, you know, YouTube.
It's a running loop. It's like a It's like a minute of actual different stuff. That's maybe two.
That nobody asked for. They could have spent those resources on
something else. It looks nicer than just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, presentation's a kind of a big deal.
When you have to look at it for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours like I do, I'm sure it's going to get stale.
Yeah,
it's better than looking at a wall, essentially.
Yeah, but it's also like it's barely better than you. Basically, it's barely better to look at a wall. You look at a TV in the background running the same episode you've seen 14 times.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, here's the thing with looking at a wall. Before YouTube, I just used to stare at paint drying all day, so I'm used to that. I know most people aren't able to take that, but yeah.
I took you one step further. Instead of just staring at paint dry, I would eat it.
Damn, what is it? Was there lead in that paint?
Oh, tons.
That kind of explains a few things I've been wondering about.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You just always seem so, I don't know, aggressive, and I feel like lead poisoning makes people more aggressive.
I've been compared to a dull pencil.
Really? Yeah. I would compare you more to like a crocodile.
Because I'll see you in a while. Bye. Thanks for having me.
No, with your medulla oblongata and stuff, it does feel like you're snappy.
I gotta be more refined in arguments I pick. Because, you know, the average guy coming after me, I just got to be like, go frig yourself, Brody, you know?
Yeah, just ban them. Like, I see a lot of people now, and I see a lot of content creators taking after you, Bengal, and calling out their YouTube comments. Like, I used to do that, and I just ban them now.
Yeah, I do too. It's when you call attention to them, it only
fuels them.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the people that streak on the fields. If they kept showing them, then people will keep doing it more. That's why you always see cell phone footage. You never see an actual, like, live HD recording of it.
Yeah, nobody wants to see penis in HD. Hey, so let's keep going.
Speak for yourself.
We were just talking about the laptop stuff earlier. So with franchise stuff and the coach scheme fits, and like, does this add a lot? You know, I know you passed on wanting to talk about your excitement as a fan. Like, does this add a lot of depth? Like, you've played it. Does it add a lot of depth to the franchise mode?
It's weird. I got to figure out how I want to answer these questions. I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. Right now, I'll say that I think it doesn't change too much, except for aesthetically. I think a lot of it are aesthetic changes, but it would, I guess, you know, make you want to draft players that fit your scheme more to make their overall look higher, even though the attributes are the same. I don't know. That's a weird question for me.
Okay. So, like, with all these changes, you just kind of feel on the fence about them. Like, what would be something that, besides for, like, the creative player class, which the creative draft player
class. Custom draft classes.
Custom draft classes. I can't speak. Yeah, I'm not good on those words. So, what would you want? Like, what would make franchise mode in-depth? Or is it just too many to list? Because there's a lot of things they're missing in this game.
I don't have as many worries and quips about it as other people do. I think they do need to add new things and change things, but I'm not asking for so much that, you know, all these vocal minorities are with, you know, like, we need a revamped midseason contract negotiations and interactions, you know, just whatever. For me, I think what it really comes down to was custom draft classes was the absolute biggest thing that I wanted, and they came through. I think coaching carousel is a big next thing they need to add, which is, of course, like, have the ability to sign or we'll say hire and fire coaches and coordinators and things like that. We'll just stick to three: head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and, you know, special teams coordinator. Why not four under the head coach? But I don't know. I feel like for the most part, they're moving in the right direction. I wanted, you know, a realer draft experience, if you will. And they've added that step in the right direction. So, I mean, I think they're moving in the right direction. It seems like small things, but baby steps is not the worst thing. We'll just have to see for when Superstar Mode comes back.
Here's the thing, like, with baby steps. Now, Rex talked about, you know, when he was creative director, that franchise was going to be focused this year. And they gave us these baby steps. And the previous 2 years, they didn't really even give us steps at all. It was kind of just like, they're running on a barrel almost. They're just standing still. So with Rex gone and his focus on franchise this year, like, do you expect baby steps in the future even?
I think next year is going to be a big year for franchise, more so than this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because Swami's there? You got a guy on the inside? You got a mole?
Official mole.
You got an official mole too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just gut feeling, we'll say.
I color me skeptical. You know, they say this every year. Remember when 19 was going to be the great year? Wait till 20.
Even though it does seem like baby steps, I think some of them are big things. Like, custom draft classes is huge. I think adding the draft screen where, you know, the players come out and you actually, like, you know, you feel something when you draft a really good player, more so than just, oh, it's a name that pops up and then overall that's associated. If they have superstar development, they're coming out hyped, you know, flashing the guns or whatever. And I think the next step would be, and this would probably add a lot more gigabytes, as Texas is complaining about, so he has to download the game for 30 minutes longer. But you'll have the players actually walk out onto the stage in a suit or whatever, or hold up their draft hat or their jersey or something. for the first round, but I don't know when we'll see that. I'd like to see a combine as well.
Instead of just the combine stats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that, I mean, that'd add more to like the I don't know, signature. Immersiveness. That's a good word for it. Of franchise. And do you think, like, so along with that immersiveness, do they need to add like other things besides for just like the flair stuff like that, like the presentation? Like, do they need to add like more of a RPG type system for the coaches to improve their like quirks and stats and how they can execute game plans for you, and maybe adding more things to your playbook for your custom coach playbook or so, stuff like that? Do you think they need to add more?
I think adding coaches that actually matter would do a lot. Right now, there are things you can do, or at least in the past. I can't really talk about it too much for 19, but for 18, they had in the past, you could upgrade certain coach packages, like, you know, how fast different positions would get experience points and, you know, some percentage of being able to re-sign players with a higher success rate, mm-hmm. which I wasn't an issue at all if you knew what to do. And signing players in free agency, you could do packages on that. And making coaches matter would do a lot. I'm a huge simulation guy, so I'm not playing the game as much, so I can't really speak on adding plays to the playbook and things like that, although I do think that'd be fun. But I think making coaches matter more would be cool.
Yeah. Texas, any thoughts on any of the franchise stuff with adding some sort of depth to it or more presentation stuff? Would you prefer?
I want more depth. Like you said, I don't really want like the whole like video package, like watching a combine. I mean, I understand for video purposes it'd be cool just to be out there looking at it, but I'm just like,
I think the way you're imagining it sounds super boring. Just watching.
I'm imagining just watching the combine itself is super boring.
I think a big thing for me, I enjoy it because I'm a nerd, but I think a big thing for me, and something I asked about, and something Swami knows about, because I've talked to him about it, and he, I think, requested this as well, are seeing highlights for the draft picks in college when you draft them as well, or before. I think that'd be a big part of the immersiveness, because, you know, if you don't hear about these guys along the way, except for maybe a story here and there that tells you their development, right? Like, ooh, Johnny Smith, dad was an Olympic athlete, and now he takes the field in college. And you're like, oh, superstar development. That's how that works. But you don't know anything about them other than that for the CPU-generated guys. There are no mock drafts prior to the draft. I think mock drafts would be huge. That's a big part of the NFL. Mock drafts are gigantic. You know, how many football fans don't see at least one mock draft prior to the draft? I mean, they're all over. Everyone's looking them up for the most part.
Didn't they used to have mock drafts in the game?
I know they have it in NBA 2K. I don't know if they have it or have ever had it in Madden. I do not recall. Another thing would be Trade Finder. Trade Finder used to be in the game. At some point, it got taken out. Trade Finder would be massive, and a revamped trade logic for more realisticness would be cool as well.
Yeah.
Trade it's Finder hard to would do be that, huge. Though, because like some trades in the NFL that went through that like wouldn't work in Madden. Like some of those Rams trades that they made.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would work.
It's weird.
Yeah, like so maybe they need like a trade randomizer. Like, so it works most of the time, then sometimes you can just catch a guy on a bad day. Random, boom, you got it. That sounds terrible.
Just catch a dude that has like issues, like if a guy has like high team like value. He's a good player, but his team doesn't value him that much, and you can get him for pennies on a dollar. Mm. Versus what it is right now, where you can go in and try to do the same trade where you try to trade for Sue, and it's like, nope, not Sue, but a trade for Marcus Peters, and you can't do that trade. That trade's not working.
Yeah, the trade logic is old. I know that for a fact. It's a couple years old at this point, and it has not been revamped for 19. And I mean, it's still going to be the same thing. If there's a player with low positional value in a weird age, like J.J. Watt, for example, you could get J.J. Watt for absolutely nothing. But then you could trade, you know, three of the top players in the league who are young at their position, and you could try to trade for another high overall player of that same requirement, and there'll be off limits. The trade meter won't even move. It's just a little bit too weird sometimes with what's allowed, what's not.
So they just need to dedicate some resources to it. Like, is the franchise team, like, very big even?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I think because you mentioned earlier, like this is like one of my biggest bugaboo with like the Mutt team and the gameplay team. Like they generate all this revenue, but it seems like their teams are still kind of small to get for this whole like mode. Like draft champions just like isn't looked at frequently. So if you knew what the size of the franchise team was and it was kind of small and needed more resources, it's just kind of like the common refrain for Madden. Or like even if their team is small, like are they just not working hard enough?
I'm not gonna accuse anybody of that. You're okay. Out of your mind. What I will say, though, is I know that when Rex was the guy, if you will, that a lot of the resources that would have been put into other places, like Draft Champions, like Ultimate Team, like Franchise, had their own large competitive team. As far as I'm aware, that were, you know, putting all their eggs into that Mutt Champions basket that kind of neglected other modes, and that's a huge reason why Franchise didn't get any buff and why Ultimate Team might have been pretty stale. And why Draft Champions didn't get any buff? Because they're working on the competitive scene the entire year.
Yeah, we know that with their large tournaments they put on, it was not a small undertaking with the amount of stuff that they put on and the weekliness. And even the competitive guys complain about their getting their communication to them. But I know they do have a pretty large competitive team, and they're continuing it. I mean, competitive Madden is the future that Andrew Wilson sees for their. I guess company. So it is what it is. So with Franchise, I don't know. Is there anything else about 19 Franchise that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about, Bengal?
No, I think it probably covers it. You know, my wants, my desires, what's new, what I like about it, what I don't like about it.
All right. Wait, did you say what you don't like about it?
I think I mentioned with the skill points, I don't love part of it. I like the idea. I think the execution could have been better.
Yeah. What about the new depth chart positions?
I didn't really notice a huge change.
Yeah.
I like the idea though, because I've been asking for that for a while.
Yeah.
I haven't played it enough. Is the reality?
I gotcha. So you spend most of your time just simulating games in franchise mode. Do they provide an accurate enough simulation in your opinion?
Ooh, that's a good question. In the past, absolutely not. When I played 19, oh, what can I say here? When I played 19, it looked like the simulation stats were revamped slightly. There were still issues, but it looked like they were changed to be more realistic, I think, for the most part.
What does that mean? Yeah. Texas, what are you laughing at?
That is more realistic.
Well, in the past, you could run a specific scheme. You could run spread. And then,
oh, that still kills.
You could have like a 75 overall that has 5,000 yards.
Still kill. 5,000, okay, 5,000, yeah, yeah.
But really what I'm talking about is for defensive stats, every single time you would have linebackers that have more interceptions than cornerbacks every time. You would have like the same exact blueprint for stats. It doesn't even matter who's on the team. Like, you could have the best cornerbacks in the game and they're not going to play that well. And you get an offensive lineman that actually 30 sacks per year plus. Like, I've seen 45 sacks allowed. I'm like, who are you putting out there that's allowing 45 sacks in 16 games? They were just ridiculous. That's like, what, 3 a game?
From one individual or for the team?
For a guy. One guy.
Holy shit.
I know. They were ridiculous. It was not totally tubular.
Yeah, that is a beautiful word. So, Texas... Any thoughts on franchise mode? You seem like you had something to say there.
Well, I mean, the scheme stuff still is important. I can't really discuss it, but like when you sim games, certain playbooks do give you better win percentages, which is like, what are we doing with playbooks, not actual talent on the field?
Yeah, it doesn't shock me. That's an issue.
That's so stupid. Like, so, and let's say this game of Madden 18, if you were to use the Niners with the same team they got right now, you're not going to be going to the playoffs. But in Madden with the playbook they got, because Kyle Shanahan's juice is all over it, every year McKinnon has between 1,800 and 2,000 rushing yards.
Well, I mean, look at the Rams. The Rams on paper weren't amazing. They had Jared Goff, who's an overall weak quarterback, and Sean McVay made them look like the best offense in football.
I got you. Yeah, I understand that there's certain things, like the coaches can come turn things around, but McKinnon, if he was actually good, he would still be in fucking Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe. You don't just, No, baby. That dude couldn't find a hole. If he found a hole, he was good, but he mostly didn't find holes. So, like...
He got overpaid, in my opinion.
I've been rooting for that guy to succeed forever. He's probably going to succeed in San Francisco now, but he's not going to be 1,800 yards. So it's good. I don't think he's durable to last the entire season. But, like, it's just... I don't like that playbooks can dictate how your, like, scheme goes. I feel like it should just be based off ratings.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, it's not, unfortunately, which is still kind of a miss for me from franchise. You play, obviously, a little different, but for simming stuff, things aren't going to be accurate unless you just kind of have everybody have the same scheme and playbook across the board. You should do that, Bingle. Have the same everybody with the same playbook and scheme.
I think it would just be offensive inflation across the board, and defenses wouldn't matter. It'd just be luck. Because when you do, you know, simulation across a certain number of seasons, it gets to the point where everybody has the same or similar record. So you could be a 95 overall and go negative because everyone's around there.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by negative?
Like 7-9.
Loss.
Oh.
Under 500.
And
so that's why some rebuilds get really frustrating because a lot of people don't consider that there are errors within franchise mode. Like, you caught a rebuild, you finished 6-10. I'm like, the team's a 97 overall. What do you want me to do?
You at that point, you just save scum it, right?
No, I don't do that. Because I don't really care. People have accused me, oh, you're faking draft picks. I'm like, you're stupid. I'm like, there's no reason. I don't care enough. The video's going to get views either way. I'm going to build the team either way. Doesn't matter.
It's interesting. It's interesting to hear a creator saying, "I don't care about my product." But for you,
it's not
works.
The product. It's something that I can't control. I can't control whether, you know, the team does well if I build it correctly. Sometimes it just won't.
It's the magic of YouTube, man. You fake it, and then you just tell everybody it's real. It's like pranks. It's better that way. You go 16-0 every season. You'll be the how at 19. You'll be the only CFM YouTuber that goes 16-0 every single season he does.
All you gotta do is just force the win. Force the win, bro.
Boom.
Yeah, people are like, you're force winning. So I had to like show the record sometimes when we do really well just to make sure everybody knows, you know, I'm not cheating. It's annoying. People are freaks in the franchise community to some degree.
I mean, I think any community is going to have some letting their freak flag fly, and, you know, it is what it is. So, all right, let's move on to the passion of me and Tex, Mutt, and the summer blockbusters. So, Bengal, you're into Mutt, at least a little bit. I know your passion is there, but maybe your content on YouTube isn't really focused around Mutt. Would you say that's correct?
In years past, I mean, I started as a Madden Ultimate Team YouTuber, if you will, back in 13. That's all I played was Ultimate Team, and I loved Ultimate Team back in Madden 13.
Why'd you switch back to franchise?
Well, I took a hiatus from YouTube between Madden 25, well, after Madden 25, like halfway through.
For everybody that doesn't know, he was touring the dojos of China, learning the ancient art of martial arts. There it is. Sorry, Bengals.
I came back for Madden, like late Madden 16. Like the game was over. Like it was June or something. I came back and I started making a few videos. So I missed like 2 years. And I played a little bit of 25 Ultimate Team, but mainly I was, kind of sporadically uploading during that period. And then I came back, and I kind of split it between franchise, but I tried a rebuild one day, and it didn't do anything. Nobody cared. Because I tried them in 25, and they were okay. Nobody watched them, really. And then in 17, at some point, randomly, they started picking up more views. Like, or late 16, early 17. And that's kind of, I'm like, you know, why am I going to continue to upload Ultimate Team if nobody watches it? And I want to. I'd like to do Ultimate Team, but, there's no motivation for me there.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, I feel the same way with MLB The Show. It's like, I enjoy the game. I'm still playing it a ton, but I don't feel like uploading it if nobody's going to watch it and it's going to kill my Madden content. So
I think the big issue with you for The Show is you're really information and tips driven for the most part, but there are already so many guys doing that in MLB, like, that are already established. So if somebody wants to know news, they're going to go probably to Cougs if they want to know what's new in the game. And I know you're not doing many of those videos, but if you're going to watch how to get to World Series video, you're going to watch one of the top guys, like a Cardinal Bird, who's not really doing much this year. But you understand my point. You can't break into the scene as a pretty good player with tips on how to get better. I think if you did gameplays and debuts and things the way that I've been doing them and the way that Healy does them and the way that others do, I think you'd have way more success. Them too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, tips don't have to come from the best players in the community. We see this in Madden community.
That's fair. I'm just saying the MLB community is real weird with these kind of things. They're real weird. So it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. I understand. Like, yeah, I understand. Like, Madden community is the same way about getting their tips from like the best. Like, you'll get those criticisms frequently. Because I do Madden tips too. Like, you're not the best player. Why should I be listening to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll still get hit. So, like, I mean, Eric Rayweather, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago,
Floyd Money Rayweather.
That's right.
I watched that one.
Yeah. All so like yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I did.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Bangle. Mm-hmm. So with Rayweather, like, he's not like winning tournaments out here, but he's still putting out tips and basically becoming a big YouTuber based off tips, and he's not a competitive player either in the Madden. So and with MLB the Show, like, there aren't the top players just stopped playing and stopped putting out content like Cardinal Bird. So
yes.
There's no content like that on YouTube right now.
You're playing an excellent devil advocate here. Excellent. Just in my experience from what I've seen, I'm just saying how I feel.
Yeah.
I think you'd benefit more from doing debuts and gameplays. I think you'd be good at them, and I think they would do well over time. But you can't, like, it's so hard to invade a new game. Because I have all these subscribers, but then, like, none of them are there for MLB. You have to develop that whole new audience.
Yeah, and we'll see going forward with Immortal content. Hopefully I can get that stuff out along with you guys and maybe steal some of those views in Google search engine optimizations.
Oh, yeah, get in the SEO.
Yeah, gotta be first for that. I'm never first, though. That's my issue. I'm always, like, third, fifth up with videos. And anyways... off the MLB talk in Texas.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on summer blockbusters?
Real quick, Bingo, I'll give you the advice about uploading Mutt. Just do it, because who cares about the audience? Now you're giving the same box to Fox. So.
Yeah, Wheels is really getting on me. He's like, why don't you upload your pack opening? I'm like, I don't care.
It comes full circle, my dude. It comes full circle.
No, I'm a hypocrite. I'm not denying that. I know. I'm like, oh, you should just upload it. You should just do it, man. I'm like, you just do it. Yeah, I know I should do Ultimate Team. I have plans for 19.
All right, that's good to hear. All right, so blockbusters, summer blockbusters. I like and dislike this promo. For one, I like it because the cards are ridiculously stacked.
They look
and
really they are good.
Cheap as hell.
The card arts are amazing.
I hate the fact that there's no power-ups and that they only have one chemistry.
So, do we want to talk about power-ups first, Tex?
For what, this year? They're over, officially.
So no, for these blockbusters. And you're not getting power-ups in your squad. And I commented lol on your power-up video.
Okay. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just because, like, I would have been forced to go from one Kim, from two Kims to one Kim on some of these cards, but to get two abilities. So, with Luke Kuechly, I would have had to go on from read and react to just physical front, and then I would have got hot hands I don't really care about. But there's some cards I would have loved to power-up, such as Amo, such as Joe Staley. And there's another card I'm thinking I can't think of off the top of my head right now. But I don't know why EA decided to discontinue the power-ups, considering they were going to give us more cards in the future. Like, well, I know they said the whole point is to focus on Madden 19. All this is plus ones.
I told you it takes more work than it looks like.
How, though?
Terrible, like, don't ask me how. I'm just saying it does. Like,
first
testing
of all,
these cards, putting new borders around them, putting them into the game.
Why do they have to test the cards if it's a plus one chemistry or plus one upgrade?
Dude, don't ask me how do they screw up Team of the Week packs? How do they keep giving Kelvin Johnson?
See, like, I can understand Team of the Week packs. I can understand those, because that's just like,
how? Just repeat. It's just Control C, Control V the pack odds. Like, what? It's easy to say this doesn't take much work. It's just whatever. Put it into the game. Like, people look at a video that maybe you put out and or one of us and we edit, and they're like, oh, that's an easy video, just whatever. But like, then we were like, well, we spent 4 hours in that video and just to get it up, you know, thumbnail everything together. Uh-huh. And so, like, it's the same thing with EA. It's like, oh, that doesn't take nothing to do. So it clearly does. That's why they stopped doing it. And that's why I want them to stop doing power-ups in general. Just focus your stuff on other new cards. Don't give us the same name 3 days later with plus ones. That's just not interesting content. Go on, Tex.
I get you on that. I feel like that is not this interesting content. It's going to be more interesting next year, though, since you're not going to be forced to do them. You know, you are going to be forced to do them. But if you end up doing it, you can just always obviously just go back and not act like you never done it before. But I just if you're going to start something throughout the year, you got to finish with. You can't just be out here stopping because you feel like that's a good time to stop. Like, yeah. I don't get that from a business perspective. Like, you sold us on the power-ups, and now we can't power-up players that you drop specifically that a lot of us happen to have on our team. So it's just really weird. Like, why y'all ain't stopping putting packs in the game. Y'all keep putting packs in the game. Y'all stop power-ups, though? Because it's not, like, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's stupid. Mean, it's a fair point. Bangle, do you have any reactions?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's power-ups. It's a terrible promo.
I haven't
promo.
Played the game in 6 months. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, no, I believe you. Yeah. You're on the MLB.
The show, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I see y'all there play Battle Royale, going 10-0, and then get losing every single time.
Frig off, dude. You're not wrong. I'm 4-for-4 on losing at 10-0 this year. So frustrating.
You should win those games. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I see stuff he puts up on Twitter. Like, he hitting the ball perfectly, and they call it a pop-up.
Yeah, and then Joey Gallo, you missed the ball, and it's a home run. I love that card, by the way.
He's a beast.
Isn't Joey Gallo one of those guys in MLB where sometimes it's home run, but usually it's nothing? Like, it's kind of how he plays?
Yeah, but
he's a glitch in the game, honestly. Okay. He's just like, power is king, and if you hit the ball well with him, if you get on it, you're not doubling to the gap. You are hitting a bomb 400-plus feet. It's just how it works. He's a guy, he had more home runs than singles last year in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of power hitters do that. I mean, McGuire did that. What?
Not a lot of power hitters do that. Not a lot of anybody does that. That's ridiculous because you got to get so few hits also while simultaneously hitting home runs. He was like one of the only players to ever do that.
One of the only players to ever do that.
Yeah.
Let me go back and look. Yeah.
Like, with the minimum plate appearances, of course.
Well, yeah, obviously. So, more home runs than singles is what we're looking for, eh?
In one season.
Okay. All right.
It's not as common as you think it is.
What's that?
It's not as common as you seem to think it is. It's very rare.
McGuire did it in 98 and 99, if I can do math correct. Yeah, 98, 99, McGuire. That was the first guy I looked up.
That's right up McGuire, all right. So that strikeout. How many strikeouts do you have that year? 150?
Let me go back. I left this profile. Yeah, about 150. 155 and 141. All right. But anyways, this is an MLB podcast. Let's
that's next week.
Next week, we'll do the MLB stuff.
For sure.
With these blockbusters and power-ups, I mean, this is the thing I've been saying all year. It's a terrible, terrible promo. It's like people have been like accusing me of alternate objectives by telling people how bad power-ups are. They're like, oh, you don't want power-ups to succeed for blank to blank. And I'm like, what? Like, they're like somebody in Texas' comment section said, Govox, how do you feel about your one power-up this year not being able to be powered up, lol, with Le'Veon Bell? I'm like, I know I made a mistake earlier in the season. Since that Le'Veon Bell mistake, I've been telling people it's a terrible program. I went through this myself. I'm trying to give you guys advice on what not to do, not to waste your coins. People were telling me in February how amazing power-ups were and how these were endgame cards. And I look at these cards that we just got. It's like, you're going to tell me that card from February, no matter who it was, that's an endgame. Like that Ultimate Legend Mike Vick, he wasn't a power-up, but like we'll just say like the Von Miller. Sure, great, Von Miller, good stuff. But then we get like... this Anthony Barr, who's 6'5", with
different schemes though too. On top of that, I get what you're saying, but it's a different scheme though. Like Barr is more of a user, whereas Vaughn is providing a plus two block shed to your entire team.
Yeah, but everybody you can get up to 99 block shed now on defense with the golden tickets. So like people were powering up like cornerbacks in February. I'm like, stop.
They're good. That Darius Slay's a beast, and with that coach has 98 speed and like top tier block shift for a cornerback. Like he's fine.
Does he have secure tackler?
No.
Those so he's in my opinion ruined Ultimate Team.
Yeah. What happened?
Those like secure tackler and unfakeable and things like that, they ruined Ultimate Team for me.
it was weird how heavy they went on secure tackler this year versus, like, 17, we still had secure tackler, but we didn't have nearly as many cards with it, so we didn't notice it as much. But, like, yeah, it's important. I mean, here's the thing with secure tackler. It's a weird balance for the game. Like, without secure tackler, trucking backs would be OP as fuck. But right now, they're kind of trash because it's those small, not necessarily small, but those changes that completely change how the game plays in the meta. So, it's tough. Like, Madden 18 without secure tackler, I think we'd have a trucking nerf by now. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, I believe we probably would have ended up doing that, but I'm glad that I like how, I guess it's end game, but like early on in the year, trucking is kind of like how it should be, I guess, and hopefully next year we probably won't see as much, but it's, I don't know, secure tackler is just a nice counter. I don't know why you're mad about unfakeable, because unfakeable didn't really work that
well,
much.
For in the beginning it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
No, it's like four cards that added, though, and they were like all expensive.
Yeah, but it seemed like it was a have to have. And like with secure tackler, I talked to Wheels, and it was like if a card came out with secure, oh, he doesn't have secure tackler. I'm like, yeah, you can't use him. It just, that's what it seemed like from my perspective, and now I didn't play the game as nearly as much as you guys did, but that's what it seemed like from my point of view. So it seemed like, oh, doesn't matter how these chemistries are like. And I think chemistry should matter more. Like, you remember some of those videos that we did, Texas, and they just totally, like, I didn't do any this year, really, because there was no point.
We were going to, like, we talked about discussing the Kim Clash.
It didn't challenge. Work. There was way that it was going to be good.
There was no possible way you could link, because only certain many cards had, nobody had two Kims, everybody had one Kim.
Yeah.
So if you were going to build a team, you could just be like, oh, it's that guy. It just didn't make much sense, because then we got two Kims, like, late in, like,
ruined like, a series.
Like, April.
Maybe in 19, so, who knows.
Possibly, but you got power players up, so it's a little different, so. But it's I don't know, it's like,
it'll
like,
be interesting.
I don't think we would have got a trucking nerf, though, because if you look at the trucking backs, like, there's not many that hit the top tier trucking threshold for like early on in the year. Fox,
Jerome Bettis, like, did.
Jerome Bettis, and then I guess Bo Jackson and LeGarrette Blount were the trucking backs that you wanted early on in the year. We just started seeing 99 trucking, at least like 91 and higher, until after I think Ultimate Legend started coming out.
Didn't Blount have over 90 trucking early in the year?
Initially, like, early in the year, but he was slow as hell, even while I was using him.
Not true. What about Bo Jackson's GOAT edition?
Yeah, well, the people, I didn't really see Bo Jackson. I think at that point it was way too expensive to get Bo Jackson. Remember? It was like, it cost way too many coins and too much money to upgrade your Bo Jackson. It's better just to sell the players
and then just
buy your own halfback. Because we saw that. We saw the other GOATs that we upgraded because they were actually NAT players to get. But then the second go around, it was so expensive. So we didn't really see many trucking backs. And Spin was so OP that we didn't really notice the trucking backs and how good they were until after the Spin moves got nerfed.
I can go with that. Timeline events. I mean, I still thought, I think I said even some player reviews back then that if the Spin wasn't so powerful, that people would still be very impressed with trucking backs and how 17, and basically 18 trucking was as good as 17 trucking, and trucking backs with the move in 17. So
yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed like where my quarterback is running through people, because it's just fun when you see a guy with secure tackler out there. But early on in the year, if you just press circle and spin four dudes out, like, you weren't going to truck anybody. Spin was so overpowered that trucking didn't make much sense to do at all.
Yeah, toss and spin, basically. Yeah. The how you clean your clothes and how you gain yards in offense really mattered. Hey, so, Bengal, do you want red chems in franchise?
No. I think I don't like them in Ultimate Team, really. I definitely wouldn't like them in franchise. I think that's what the rating's for. And that's what the sliders are for.
What if somebody were to hit like 99 tackle, then would you want them with secure tackler? Because they can't actually make 99 tackle matter. Ratings are kind of limited to what they can actually do.
But are we going to say like that, let's say Brian Urlacher, for example. I don't know why I'm choosing him. Let's say Luke Kuechly. Yeah. He's going to miss a tackle every once in a while in real life. He should miss a tackle every once in a while in the game.
Well, secure tackler is that as well. If you're usering the guy, you don't miss a tackle. If you're not usering, it has a chance to be broken still.
I mean, I usually would use her to the middle linebacker.
Well, there's a lot of guys on your team without secure tackler. That's the thing about it.
That's fair.
Because I remember Calais Campbell, I had secure tackler. I don't know how many quarterbacks like Carson Wentz or Cam would just break the sack and throw a touchdown pass. I'll be raging on stream. So it's not a guaranteed thing unless you're using the player.
I don't know. I don't want it. Is my simple answer.
In a simulation setting, it doesn't make sense, according to Bengal, right?
Correct. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. It's a fair point. So I guess to finish out, round out our thoughts about summer blockbusters, I too enjoyed the promo. I like that they gave us something this late in the year. They're still feeding us content. I hope they do keep feeding us content through at least the early part of July. Maybe with some rookie premieres coming up. But like, okay, give us, besides for a giant Bengal, what rookie premiere would you want most for our 19? Like, who do you think is going to have the best year for and get the best mutt cards through the year?
I think Darius Geis is going to be an absolute monster. He's running behind a pretty good offensive line.
When did he get drafted?
Redskins.
A win, though.
Oh, second round.
But it's probably not going to be a premiere.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I didn't consider
like
that.
We had Watt last year, who was end of first round-ish, so it can go all the way probably through the first round.
Let me not answer. When I answered that question, I was originally thinking first-rounders, and then I thought of, who's going to have the best season? And then I'm like, okay. So first-rounders, out of quarterbacks, I don't think you're going to really see many of them play that much.
Josh Allen's not starting? And you know Sam Bradford's
going to be. I think AJ McCarron's going to be starting in Buffalo.
Josh Rosen. Did I say Josh Allen?
I thought you said Josh Allen. Allen.
I might have said one of those. Either way,
Bradford gets injured. Yeah, Rosen will play. I think Roquan Smith is going to be insane. I would do that one. He plays in the Bears, who have a generally pretty decent defense. It's okay, but he's also a box-to-box guy. He's fast. Yeah, he's going to have good zone coverage.
Yeah, true. I mean, like a 4.5 40, but he's 6'1". I mean, do you think he's going to get a lot of upgrades? A mutt card? Is he an exciting name to get mutt card? I mean, I guess I shouldn't disqualify Barkley. Do you think Barkley's going to be like the best one to get then from rookie
career? I think, no bias. I think Barkley's going to be a pretty good player to have.
Over Sony Michelle?
Why would you Sony Michelle?
I'm going to say upgrade-wise. I'm not saying you want him, saying upgrade-wise.
Saquon Barkley is
the most out of their halfbacks.
Saquon Barkley is going to get touches.
And your offensive line is not that good.
It's not terrible.
I know, but
he's also a playmaker out of the backfield as a receiver.
I got you, but your left tackle doesn't give your quarterback enough time.
Nate Solder.
Oh, you got rid of Flowers?
Nah, he's there, but he's... Solder's the starting left tackle. Flowers might be on the right side.
Okay.
Yeah, they drafted a beast left guard. And Will Hernandez. So the left side's good if you want to run it that way.
Gotcha.
I think Saquon Barkley is going to be a pretty good card to have.
Yeah. I wonder how many guys you think they should do. Would you ideally want the whole first round for rookie premiere or just like eight they did last year?
Oh, yeah. Because, there were some players that they're like, he's not going to have a good year. And then the insane year. And then, sucks, they don't have a rookie premiere card.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys weren't first-round picks. Like, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, not first-round picks, so they didn't get any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lattimore had a good year and was a good rookie premiere. But who would have thought, all right, Watson got a rookie premiere, and I didn't think he was going to do anything. And he really was good for a few games and then got injured, but they kept giving him upgrades. So maybe it's like the move is to just get, like...
It's who's going to be good and who's going to sell packs. Or
like, Baker Mayfield's going to be guaranteed upgrades through the year, right?
Oh, yeah, you'd say.
He's a Brown. Clearly, him and Denzel Ward probably get the most cup grades because the Browns get cards no matter what happens. Baker Mayfield probably played 3 games in the preseason and end up getting a damn preseason Team of the Week card. Team of the Week hero. 91 Baker Mayfield, start a man off with.
Some dumb shit like that.
But, what they got to do, we don't need all the cards. We just need all skill positions because they keep giving us linemen and nobody in the linemen ever get upgraded. Garrett Bowles guy.
Never take an offensive lineman for your
Year. Obviously, kind of weighted towards, if you want to, do the first round, it'd be more collectibles in the second round and the third round and so on and et cetera. But I wouldn't mind just giving everybody a chance to invest in some players their team drafted. So you can just, be a true fan. Just do the entire Panthers draft or do the entire Giants draft or Steelers draft. So you can just have somebody, if in this case they were to expand. Or just think of, just maybe one of the guys you thought went later than he should. Just make the investment in him. Hopefully it pays out. I.e. Shaq Griffin.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I get you. Personally, I think Tremaine Edmonds would be great. Yeah, hey Bengal, do you think the Steelers thought the wrong Edmonds was on the board when they drafted?
Yes.
What are they doing?
Tremaine Edmonds made so much sense for them, but he also wasn't on the board for a number of picks.
Yo, I was talking to Vic about that. I'm like, they took the wrong Edmonds brother. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, this dude's, because we were live streaming during the draft. I'm like, they took that guy?
He's not good. But by the same token of you taking a Mayfield, you'd want Lamar Jackson as well, even though he's probably not going to play. He'll get an upgrade at some point.
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson would be a great pick too. As we saw with the Mudhead community, Lamar Jackson is a very popular name because they voted him as a golden ticket. So EA definitely pays attention to who we like as a community, and they give him upgrades.
But they'll give him an upgrade like in fucking February. I mean, after the fact, they will upgrade. That's what they do. Apple with Leonard Fournette. They upgraded two cards after the point of expiration, and then another cards came out. They're like, no upgrade for you. Eat a dick.
That was devastating. Hey, so
Real quick, Fox Home. I was going to ask you earlier about the blockbusters. Do you feel the John Madden head coach got kind of pooped on with the new coach that came out and Doug Peterson?
Yeah, so clearly, John Madden, even Tier 3 John Madden, isn't as good as the new Peterson. Because as we know, speed means everything in this game. Unless you have like 99 speed, unless you got the corners from the blockbuster and the wide receivers, then maybe Madden is more your style. But even though they have 99s across the board and all the other stats that Madden would really affect anyway. So I think Peterson, that's a good point. He definitely shit on the John Madden owners. But do I care? I mean, no. Because cards get shit on all the time in this game. Like, you can hold on to like the best, like say you had Mike Vick, Ultimate Legend Mike Vick, and then Golden Tickets came out and there's a bunch of quarterbacks and they all shit on Ultimate Legend Mike Vick. Even Golden Ticket Mike Vick came out. So it's something you should be aware of as a Mutt player, that whatever card you have in this game can get outdated in an instant. And John Madden, guys, you put a lot of time into that card. You put a lot of grind into it. You had the best card in the game for a long time, and then you got shit on. That's the way of life in Mutt. It's unfortunate that it happens, but I am not mad about Peterson coming out because I want more coaches in this game. Like I feel like next year they should hopefully do many coaches with these stat boosts and maybe even position coaches too, give more depth. So doing more, good. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would love seeing a coach with that gives like +1 boost to speed to like elite cards, but then like +3 or +4 to gold, just so you get more use out of these players. Because especially if they do like a event weekend league stuff, like that'll be perfect for that. If they actually spend the time and allowing us to only use players, or our team has like 75 overall or 80 overall at max. Without depth, obviously, because depth will kind of trick the system. But then you can use some coaches to make some of these lower tier players actually usable, and so that'll go a long way to give us, without giving us extra content, but to extend the longevity of the game.
It's kind of like what Mobile did, right, with that punter that made that gave the Silvers like +20 overall.
Yeah, it's just so crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I would love to see something like that.
Bengal, what do you think? I know you didn't play the game, but what do you think about a coach coming out with +2 speed when John Madden took forever to grind for, had +1s to just about everything else, every single stat in the game?
And also, I got to put this in there too. John Madden took, I think,
3.5.
How many collectibles was it?
Oh, they were talking about millions of coins. I know, John
Madden is 15. It's 15 million coins.
15.
15 million coins. I'm trying to think how many collectibles it took. It was like 10 silvers for 1 gold and 10 gold for 1 elite.
Yeah.
And so it's like 1,000 collectibles, I think, you had to get for playing Mutt Squads.
Uh-huh.
Trash.
So you had a coach that gives you a +2 speed versus a John Madden that you had to spend all year grinding to get.
That's just classic get cucked, honestly. It is.
Yeah. Essentially. Would you be mad if you had John Madden and he came out with a new coach, Bengal?
I'd probably be like, come on, man. A little salty.
Yeah.
Maybe. I wouldn't be mad, but yeah. You know, you waste all that time, all that coin, and they're like, all right, here's a way better thing, what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the coin, it would take like 4 to 5 million to actually build him, but then you got to play 1,000 games of Mutt Squads, so it was quite the grind for that John Madden. For Tier 3. Tier 1 would just be like 4 million coins, 5 million coins. All right, so is it time to talk about Fight Club, Texas?
Yes, it's time to talk about Fight Club.
All right. So, I don't think we should talk about Fight Club very much because it is the first and second rule of it.
It is a big deal, but like one of the things in Fight Club I saw was the person that had one hand in the trailer also caught a pass with that one hand.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Bango, do you want to talk about Fight Club at all?
I do not.
Bango doesn't want it. Okay.
No, you don't want the problems?
So, but the Fight Club, do not talk about Fight Club.
What is it called? He shall who not be named, whatever the hell that saying is.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, they didn't take his hand out of the game.
Well, Knox. Visually they took it out.
Visually, it's still there.
Hmm.
They took your hand out the laziest possible way ever, which is just by freaking making it invisible.
Did you try to move him to quarterback and throw a pass at him?
He can't move his position. He's locked in at that position.
Huh.
So I guess he's locked in. So I guess it's going to be funny when Mutt drops him and he's a middle linebacker. But he's locked in at left outside linebacker. He cannot move him at all.
Well, PC version, I bet you can move him.
If you can figure out some script, like unlock him. Well, I guess you can do what you want to, obviously. But yeah, we were celebrating with him. We were scoring a touchdown, and he was holding the ball in his hand that didn't exist.
Did you get? Oh, when the game drops, you got to get that footage.
I'm like, no, yeah, you mother. I say, yeah, no Fight Club. No, you bums. This is part of the rules.
I will say about Fight Club, I do like, I've talked about Fight Club's closeness and my, I prefer, well, we'll just talk about, we can talk about the beta and the open beta. I prefer that they had an open beta here instead of a closed beta, but I do respect and I appreciate that they are taking our feedback from the beta. Maybe they made it too restrictive. I don't know why they made it closed. Like, I said on Twitter, the closed beta, I think it's more of a marketing tool at some point, the way they did the giveaways and the exclusivity of it, and people want in. There's a demand for it. It's kind of like how Gmail launched. Now, if you wanted Gmail, you had to know somebody with Gmail, and they give you a code to sign up for Gmail. And that created a huge buzz around the industry for a new email service, something that so many companies had at that point. But to have that exclusive Gmail, your name at gmail.com was kind of a big deal for a while. Then they made it open, and then tons of people signed up. Now Gmail is kind of like the standard. So maybe the closed beta and making it exclusive was a good marketing tool. What do you guys think about that, Bengal?
I think you are exactly right. I think you are 100% right. And I think if you'd noticed, they used it as a way to introduce you to a lot of the guys behind the scenes at EA Madden.
Nice. I mean, very good point. You see, making a lot of videos about it, extending the social outreach they gave. They gave away codes to competitive players to give away to expand their retweet and follows and stuff like that to expand their, basically the strategy for making competitive Madden players big names in the scene. So overall, yeah, I agree. Any other thoughts on the marketing, Bengal?
I think it's just, genius. Just the way, like, you see IHOP and IHOB. They're not turning into the International House of Burgers. Give me a fucking break. They're just doing it. People are talking about IHOP for the first time in ever.
Well, I'm sure Grandma Bengals talked about IHOP quite a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's a big fan of it. Constantly talking about it.
I'm not getting something here, I think.
Okay. Well, isn't IHOP like an old person's restaurant?
Oh, is that what you're referring to? That's okay. Yeah. All right.
True. Anyways, Texas, what do you think about the marketing with the beta?
That's good. We gotta start calling it a beta. It's the full game because 58 gigs. I don't know what beta is 58 gigs. Name me a beta that's been 58 gigs. It's the full game. It's just not done yet, obviously. But I like the marketing because it allows people to actually have to, I guess, follow a lot of these EA developers. Like, I did not know there was this many people that worked that had Twitter accounts. I should say. You can go to the Twitter account, follow them, give feedback to them directly, see what they're talking about, and get more informed, because EA kind of thinks that we all have a Twitter account, which is the stupidest thing in the world, obviously. It would have been kind of cool to see some, like, these beta codes on the Madden loading screen, but hey, what do I know? And so with them getting more accessible to us, it allows us to, I guess, have a face to the people that are actually making us the game that we like so much. So it's cool marketing. I really wish that they did not just, again, keep it to Twitter. Wish there was more email code sent out and other ways to get it besides being on an account a lot of people don't have. But they did a good job. A lot of people got the beta, at least over 1,000 people, and hopefully the feedback that they're providing allows the game to be better, even though a lot of stuff they're probably giving feedback on has been addressed. Because talking to Clint out there, a lot of the stuff that they were issues, which is in the game we're playing right now, weren't in the game that a lot of the build that they were working on that they didn't, that we didn't get to play out there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I will say it is kind of neat seeing their faces because those are the people that we're constantly trashing each week. I mean, I followed almost all of them already, so I already knew the people that I basically was telling they're doing a bad job. So it is, I mean, it's good to broaden their audience so maybe there's a little less hate on in the world for them to see that there's actual humans, not just robots working at EA. But, hey, so a couple more topics left for the podcast. We'll try and not keep you guys too long this week, but do you guys think Madden 18 is the best Madden that you guys have played in a while, or do you think previous Maddens did it better? Bengal.
For gameplay, Madden 18 certainly is not my favorite. For Ultimate Team content, it's certainly not my favorite. And for franchise, it's probably not my favorite either.
Hmm. So
I think overall, I don't think you have to necessarily be like the best in every category to be good in all.
Like a Mike Trout type of game.
Mike Trout's like the best in everything. But yeah, I see what you're meaning there. I get you. I don't think the consistency was there for Ultimate Team. I think franchise didn't make a huge step up. I think, you know, if we're doing a quick year review for Madden 18, I think overall positive. But, you know, not blowing me away.
What was your favorite gameplay?
Gameplay?
Yeah.
I like 25 a lot. And I know that's probably not a popular opinion. But for me, I just I look back on it fondly. And that's a huge thing about, you know, maybe Madden 18 will age over time better or something. But 25 to me, I really like to play. It was fun. I enjoyed playing online, which, I mean, I don't do that now, obviously.
Yeah. Did you play online in previous versions of Madden 2?
Oh, yeah. I used to be good, actually. I'm terrible now. But, back in 25, I remember I started off the year at, 20-0 in Ultimate Team, and I was just cruising. Nobody was even a challenge. And then now, I mean, I'll still beat people because I'm just naturally better. But if I come against someone who knows what they're doing, no, I don't really mean that as a you know, I'm so good or whatever. It's just, I have a background in, competitive games and stuff for Call of Duty. I was actually real good, but I mean now if I run against someone who knows what they're doing in Ultimate Team or Madden, I'm not gonna do so well probably.
Yeah, I mean all you have to do really is try and throw C routes on break or what's the other? I guess toss isn't as good anymore in Ultimate Team. It's still solid, but running the ball, throw on break, swerve, it's not too terrible right now. So what was your favorite mutt then?
13
is your favorite mutt, 25 is your favorite gameplay? Huh.
Yeah, I think so. 13, okay, I exploited the shit out of pass leading. I'm going to the tight end. I'm going to combine Vernon Davis every play. I was terrible.
Texas, how about you? Gameplay and mutt.
I like 18 a lot. Obviously, a lot of things that I don't like about 18. Like a lot of the run formations and how overpowered they were, especially considered that last year we had the same complaint about stretch and the outside runs and why the blocking and the guys took terrible angles and stuff. And this year it's kind of that on steroids with how good running was. But with running being harder in Madden 19, at least as it seems right now, my 19 could shape up offensively to be better than what 18 was, whereas defensively it's a whole other story. Defensively, this shit was annoying. I'll tell you that. I liked how crazy the defense was, but you could just run cover two the entire time, especially now, and you could just have a lockup defense.
Yeah.
Unless you swerve somebody.
I would say a few weeks ago, before the Shaz became everywhere with the NAT packs, you could basically bomb one play touchdowns against cover two consistently. So cover three kind of switched into the meta. But now that Shaz is there and other Floyd and Barr that you put in that deep blue, yeah, you can't bomb cover two, unfortunately. So I think it's going to definitely come back. I feel you, though. The older games being better gameplay, and I don't know how much that's nostalgia versus, the current gen versus us just having more fun on those old games. If you go back to the old games, I've gone back to a few of the old games and played them. It's still there, but it's tough because we put so much time into this game versus going back and really analyzing this game versus those games and how they play. But I think of the last 4 years, really, that I remember, I think 18's been my favorite gameplay-wise. Mutt, definitely not. But gameplay-wise, I think 18's been better and has had fewer exploits than previous years, too. Which my biggest thing is, like, if you play a Madden game straight up with somebody else, it's a good game. It's a fun game. Most all Maddens have been fun games if you played a straight-up game. But the things that ruin this game and the online gameplay are exploits. So it could be, like, the best feeling, most controllable, greatest game. But if there's some sort of glitch, like a swerve last year, or, you know, Nickel Blitz took over, if there's, like, what PA end around in 15, if there's a lot of that stuff, or, like, the fullback dive in 16, or the A-gaps, if there's that kind of stuff, that just ruins the game, in my opinion. So, looking back at the old games and the kind of glitches that you ran into, I don't think there's as many as 18. That's why I think 18 is the best gameplay, in my opinion, because they don't have that. What do you guys feel about that take on it, Bengal? The fact that the glitches are less, so the gameplay is better for that reason.
I think that's certainly a big thing. And I know a lot of it is nostalgia. I'll go back. I played Call of Duty competitively for BO3 and AW. And I, you know, love Call of Duty and stuff. And I, you know, boots on the ground, come back if you guys are Call of Duty guys at all.
Yeah.
But MW3 recently became backwards compatible. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play MW3 again. I get on and I'm furious the entire time. I just can't stand people camping and playing the way they did. And I know I can't get back on MW2, but I'll say MW2 is one of my favorite Call of Duties ever. So that's a lot of it is nostalgia. Because MW3, honestly, sucks. Terrible game right now for me. But then part of that is me, you know, falling out of love with the Call of Duty franchise for a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sure if I went back into play Madden, I would like it less than I do now, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think, yeah, as far as glitches and exploits go, I think that's probably down. I just know when I'm having HP Wham run on me every single play, and I have no idea what to do. I'll tell you right now,
if you care.
I heard they fixed it.
He hasn't played the game in 6 months. He doesn't care.
I don't, but that's true.
It's pretty simple. It's if you have a 4-3 defense, you just call 4-3, cover 4, base align, press.
Hold on. Let me get on the game real quick. Let me try this out.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, there's so many ways to stop Wham.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know, and I would try all these different plays and whatever.
Which is why it gets annoying, though, because, like, certain things you don't think should work. Somebody told me to stop it. You got to pinch your line, spy your D-tackle, spread your linebackers, and you'll stop it every single time.
Doesn't even make sense.
That works? Why? I got to spy my D-tackle to stop this?
Yeah, your day defensive tackle. Look out for the quarterback run so you can stop the Wham.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. See, a lot of stuff that Madden has is not really, like, real football plays. It's all about exploiting the 91 zone or exploiting the bomb stuff. So if you don't invert your cornerbacks, throw a deep pass, and all of a sudden you're getting a touchdown on one play. And pretty much a lot of the games now, especially everything's so tight, usually ends up being a one score game. So a touchdown can mess up your entire game plan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I like this year's game, though. It's like early on it was fun up until we got high throw power quarterbacks in Mutt. I'll tell you that. We start getting high throw power quarterbacks in Mutt. You can hit that fucking one play touchdown, it was a wrap.
Yeah, I got you. Hey, so I'm looking back at Modern Warfare 2 maps, and there were some good ones, but yeah, there were some ones that I didn't like either. I think
the maps on MW2 are as good as they've ever been collectively in any Call of Duty ever.
Is Invasion the one I'm thinking of?
Invasion is not a fantastic map.
That the one with the
I would picture one of these Middle Eastern countries where there are tanks. And it's a bunch of buildings. You're in like a city with broken down in some areas. There's a cross map noob tube, as there is on a lot of those maps.
Is that the one you could get outside the map on?
You get easily? Out of the map on all of them. I don't remember Invasion. Yeah. Skid Row was one that you could get out of map pretty easily.
Skid Row.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because there used to be elevators that you could take, but they patched. Yeah. This was going back 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah. I hated Wasteland.
Wasteland was not a great map unless you were a sniper or a noob tuber.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that. I think Underpass was okay, not my favorite, but it was okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the best maps in those, I mean, clearly you're going to go to your high rises. Terminal was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say a gigantic high rise was my favorite.
Favela Favela is one of my favorite maps ever.
That's what the bridge and
Scrapyard.
No, the Favela is actually. I'm thinking of the wrong map. What map with the bridge? Underpass. It's like three path. Okay, yeah.
Scrapyard is one of the best maps ever. And I'm not even looking up a list right now, and I haven't played the game in forever.
You thought Scrapyard was one of the best ever?
Scrapyard is a fantastic map.
Scrapyard was dope. I love Scrapyard. Only thing, like a lot of the stuff with these small maps, though, which broke the game, was just the fact that they had noob tubes.
I think Afghan was great. Quarry, I think, was great.
Tube, yeah. Quarry's one, was that the stone one?
Yeah.
No, Quarry's the one where they're not the snow one. That's the one where
Quarry
they're
like, is, actual fucking yeah, quarry. Is the rock quarry. I don't know
what
you're talking
about. What's the one with the snow one? That's in the... That always the combat's always either in the back of the map or in the middle.
Was it the sub base you're talking about?
Sub base, yeah. Sub base was trash.
Sub base was okay, in my opinion. I think the only maps that weren't really good were Derail, I didn't really like.
That's the snowy one, too. Yeah.
Rust is a classic, but never came up online. The only maps out here that are bad everything is good for something. Like, Karachi was one of the worst maps, and that was a good map. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at World War II this year, this game is fucking dog shit. And I'm off the rails now. I was keeping it censored for whatever reason.
Nah, don't worry. We're not a censored podcast.
World War II is terrible. The game is awful.
Playable
on hardcore.
Karachi had some decent areas, but I can understand what you're saying on Karachi. I think I like Modern Warfare 1 maps quite a bit too. Like I'm just thinking of it through the nostalgia lens and the way I played. But I feel you. All right, let's get back to Madden. Sorry, I'm looking at him too much. All right, so we gotta get this over with. Hey, was Mount Rewards good this year, or should they improve on it for 19? Tex.
Mount Rewards this year, outside of getting the free copy of Madden, I would argue was bare minimal effort, considering that they don't have a better system when it comes to rewarding those that pull a ton of packs. And so 1,000 gets you to legendary tier, and while they think that's enough, they should probably have different tiers to give you different types of rewards, show you some support for those that are actually pulling packs, because we don't really have anything in this game, I would say, that really rewards money spenders outside of just having a chance to pull a good card. Yeah. You don't really get anything good guaranteed. Even like the toppers were not guaranteed value. You had a chance to pull something good, but more than likely you're going to pull something trash. And so the MUB reward system was really supposed to reward those who were spending crazy money on the game. And the best thing they can do is give you 2 or 3 packs from the current promo that's going on for that month. Yeah, that doesn't seem enough.
Do you think that's because it was so easy to get to 1,000 packs with the Get a Player pack?
Oh, definitely was super easy, but they could have also added more tiers. They could have added, they can go pro, all pro. What are the rankings? I don't know what the hell they are anymore. Legendary, but they can go from 1,000 to 5,000 to 10,000 to 20,000. Just add more stuff, because some people are at 20,000 packs pulled. They're crazy. I don't know why they're that high. Some people are probably at 20,000 packs being pulled, and they can just give those people better rewards for just being as high as they are.
Yeah. Bengal, how would you do my rewards?
I think you need to incentivize buying more packs. I think 1,000 is pretty easy to get to. I'm probably way over 1,000 right now. I know I'm legendary.
All right. The thing is, some packs are more expensive than others. You got to factor in the money.
I think do like a leveling tier, like when you level up, other things give you more XP than some things. And
get a pack level up
tier? Yeah. Do like get a player pack could be 25 XP, and then Ultimate Legends pack could be 200 XP or whatever, and you have to hit a certain XP threshold.
Well, that won't work at all either, because you could just buy 4 Get a Player packs and be right there.
It's hypothetical. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
I got you.
Math.
I'm just saying that's not the math that'll make any sense. I'm sorry.
All right, let's say, okay, so Get a Player pack can be 50 XP, and then Ultimate Legend pack can be 200,000 XP. Start fucking poking holes in that shit.
Texas wants to be a daddy. He's been poking holes a lot lately.
Yeah. Trying to, man.
That one's going to go over the head of a lot of people, but I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Bengal. As long as I can make you laugh, I feel proud.
Yeah, that was a big, good belly laugh for a minute there. But incentivize buying more packs. Very easy to get there. And honestly, Wheels told me the other day that he's gotten a copy of Madden the last 3 years for being legendary tier. I'm like, what the fuck? I've been legendary tier every year and have never gotten one.
You got one last year.
I didn't.
It's in your spam email on your account. Everybody got one last year if you were just Really? I don't know anybody that was legendary too that didn't get a free copy of Madden last year.
It must have been in spam then, because I've never seen an email come across.
Yeah, go check
it now.
Spam. It'd be funny. Oh my god, here's Madden 18.
It probably gets deleted after 30 days though.
Yeah, my spam is just all YouTube stuff.
Yeah. Real quick,
I just checked my Xbox account and I'm at 1,000 packs when I stopped playing that game on Xbox in September.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at 1,000 packs super early. How do you even check that? What is it, muttrewards.com?
It's your email. So whatever your email is, you kind of attach to your
on muttrewards.com. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. you gotta go to your email. So if it's Gmail or Yahoo, go to your Yahoo or Gmail and go to your account. That's, you know, yeah. And
for sure.
Be like probably in your spam folder. Stop that Healy for sure thing. Cause you're not. It only works for not listening. That's what I've been told.
I don't have a gamer tag associated with a console. What the? All right. That's an issue for another day.
All right. Hey, Tex, you mentioned before the podcast you hated the overall formula this year. Why is that?
All right. So the overall formula, even though I guess some people say it's my fault for the way it is, considering that I was making fun of plus ones, I'm not a fan of having to get a kicker and a punter and a fullback in positions that we don't care for to get 9 overall.
I'm telling you, you casual gamers are ruining gaming.
Me casual?
Yeah.
It's true.
Me?
I'm the one that's
powering up cards every week and I'm casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cuz you're doing something like crazy and dumb doesn't mean you're hardcore. Like, why are we going to make it easy to get to 99? Make it hard.
Okay, so I'm not saying make it easy to 99. I just hate the fact that we didn't get the rewards that we did in years past. So last year when Ultra Master dropped, overall master obviously, 98, 98 overall team got you a chance to earn a bunch of coins to get the collectible to get that
That's a different point. Don't
No, it's the same point. It's the same point. Because this year we couldn't get that in June. You had for it to had to be a 99 and 99 exactly. You had to have either tier 3 John Madden coach, which a lot of us did have, or you had to wait till now. And I'm just like, we could have had some better objectives that we could have knocked out early on if they would have just made certain positions not weigh so much in your overall.
100% a different point than we were making. Not obviously, 99 overall objective would be really cool. Don't act like I'm against the 99 overall objective.
No, you are, bro. You're competitive. You don't want that.
No, I see what I think. Getting to 99 overall, you should have a 99 in every position. That just makes sense to me. Like, you shouldn't just be able to have like a 98 sitting out there and be like, oh yeah, I'm a 99 overall. I'm a roundup king. No, get there. Get everybody there. And make sure you get the minimum, and then give us an objective for 98 overall, 99 overall. That's great. I love it. But the fact that we're complaining like, oh, it's too hard to get there. No, only a few people should be able to get there. It's called an achievement for a reason. Like, we're not just handing
out
like participation. You
giving trophies to everybody?
Yeah, no.
27th place shouldn't get.
He's on that James Harrison. He's on that James Harrison
Bengal.
No participation trophies?
No, yeah. I think it's
so like,
bullshit.
I understand that it should be hard, but it shouldn't require 3 positions we don't care about. Kickers and punters shouldn't. They don't even provide chemistry to your team, so why are you out here requiring overall stuff?
Tex, you know how little I think of punters, and they're being
punters
human beings.
Are people too.
Half
no, they're
the
not.
People
they are.
That don't even punt, and they had to go buy a punter to get on an overall team.
Like, all right, so punters may be people, but they're not football players.
You
said it doesn't matter. To get to 99, you got to get it. Big whoop. Fight over it. Spend 500,000 coins on a position you use once a game for 10 yards of field position. Make it hard.
That's basically what it is.
All this talk about, oh, it's EA's doing this and it's too hard for us to get there and it's too hard to get a high overall team. No. Make it tough. Don't make our grind done in November. I like that it's tough. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
I like that I like it when Master's tough, but you didn't like it when it's tough, so I mean like we're a different boat right now.
Would you say you like that
it's
hard?
I don't even know you anymore. I don't even know you anymore.
No, Muttmaster should be hard, but it shouldn't be like this. Muttmaster shows that you have a mastery over the game mode of Mutt.
But you just said that you shouldn't be handing out participation trophies, and Muttmaster Sean Taylor is a participation trophy.
Muttmaster Sean Taylor was go into an arcade solo and throw streaks to your best receiver for 15 hours. That is not mastery over the game mode of Mutt. That is not showing any type of mastery whatsoever. That's basically just saying you can be a mindless minion drone doing that. A computer can hit a button for that. No, it should be more ranked wins, more solos completed, unique solos that they got to give us. Not this. It's an artificial lengthening of the Muttmaster process by EA developers because they can't think of anything better. Like, that's just, I think it's a bailout. And they did the same bullshit for Night Train Lane, even though we had Jake on this podcast, and I told him that that's, like, the worst objective possible, and that you guys are I don't know. I don't know exactly what I told them, but I basically told them, that's terrible. Don't do that again. And they did it again. I don't know. Tex, what do you got?
I got you, man. I'm just saying, bro. Like, just, if they're going to do it next year, bro, change it up. Don't make kickers and punters way so heavy a part of the overall for something that people don't even
use. The thing is, like, the overall doesn't even matter. Like, if there was objectives, it totally would matter.
Just not this year. It doesn't matter at all, really. Just outside of YouTubers trying to, like, not an overall. But they could have had some stuff that you could only do for being 99, like some solos that you could play for being 99. We did not get a lot of exclusive stuff this year. Stuff we got this year was for to buy packs. For certain levels, there's no, and I guess you could say solos for uniforms, but not many exclusive stuff for overall like we had in the past. It's like a lot of stuff we got before we didn't get this year at all, which is like a tragedy.
Yeah, Bangle, let me ask you. Yeah. So, I know you and Aaliyah are very much on the same page here. Do you think overall is just a number? It doesn't matter, like age. You don't care, or are you kind of into highest overall and having a 99 overall or highest overall team?
If the attributes are there, I can give a shit what the overall says.
Thank you. We're like one mind on this.
Yeah, no. So I agree too. But this year the attributes are all trash with the overalls high.
What?
What do you mean? You see how the overall formula is? 85 overall line is gonna have 85, 85. It's not gonna be 95 run block and 60 pass block.
Oh, that issue. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on overalls. Like, don't matter. It's all. I'm the one that started overalls. Don't matter. What are y'all?
That's,
y'all out here?
That's true.
This is me. This is what I do. I was just, yeah. Sorry. I feel like.
I get you. Sorry for questioning you.
All right. This year, we're not going to be seeing much of it, though. So, because I just feel like they should just change it up again. I don't think we should. Like, I'm fine with what we have right now. I guess we'll see how it plays next year, but I do want to see a lot more of variants and ratings that aren't kind of the same early on. Because towards the end of the year, we start seeing craziness. But, like, early on, we'll probably see the same thing we saw this year, which hopefully they kind of tune so that way we can actually use some of these cards. They just aren't just mediocre. Some of these cards are elite at certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have budget stuff.
About that,
yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah, so, like, Mingo, who's a really good left tackle in the league that has who's terrible at run blocking? But also really good at pass blocking.
Andrew Whitworth.
So Whitworth should be like, he might be 90 overall. So this year at EA, or 89, he'll probably end up having 90-90. And if you were making his ratings, he'll have what? 90 pass block, what, 80 run block?
Yeah, something like that. You got to accentuate, like, he's different than just a robot. Might as well, mm-hmm. Slap a random name like John Smith on him. He's not unique if he's not going to have stats that are unique to his abilities.
That's what I kind of want to see, so that way we can actually get more, but that's not how the overall formula works this year, or probably how it's going to work next year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we have such a good guest on this week. Bangle, couldn't agree with you more.
I'm touched.
This was great.
Yeah, yeah, love it. Hey, so, Texas, you want to talk about chemistry next year, that and tying into overall formula, and you mentioned something about route running, too?
Yeah, so I was asking people before the podcast started, Fox and Bingo, like, what's the point of, like, deep route running? Because I feel like a lot of the deep routes the NFL people run are typically just streaks.
Yeah.
And then, so, I guess there's, like, three deep routes you run in the NFL, or in Madden, really. It's, like, what, he says streaks, post route, and...
Corner. Comeback, corner maybe.
Route. Well, comeback. I think comeback's in that range of medium, but I could be wrong about that. So, I guess you could say four routes. So,
they should basically come out and dedicated. Tell us.
Yeah, EA basically dedicated, like, we could say, a deep route running to four routes. Is that like a waste to you?
No. I mean, it separates receivers and their ability. Like, if it made a difference on those cards getting separation on, like, post routes or getting open and catching the ball deep, then I don't think it's a waste. Like we saw with Julian Edelman, he had terrible deep route running because he's a great short route runner. So... I don't think it's a waste necessarily, but I want to see how they execute it because there's been talk about Fight Club and route running not mattering.
Ooh. I mean, I'm looking right now because I was playing earlier than Fight Club and, like, running one of those deep post routes. across the middle or goes across the field, right? Only time the route got disturbed was when a guy chucked me, which I don't know if that has anything to do with, like I don't – he ran – everybody seemed to run that route the same way. And so maybe when the game actually comes out, we'll see a different difference in it, but it just seems like a weird waste that medium and short routes we'll actually see a difference in because there's different levels to things. So like a 5-yard out route, we run differently than a 10-yard out route. Whereas with a 30-yard out route, you may not get a chance to run that, especially now since actually move the sticks works. From testing out there, It just seems like a lot of the new stuff they added just doesn't seem like it's gonna really matter at the end of the day. It's just
what
be
is
nice
protect
the
sticks?
What
does that do?
So if a guy is going for a first down, you protect the sticks, and your cornerbacks and your linebackers will play
the
first down marker.
Okay.
Yeah, we tested it out there and it actually worked. So you don't gotta worry about getting him a 30-yard out route anymore. which is kind of crazy. That was one of the things. You can protect the sticks 30 yards down the field and the guy will still get a first down.
Yeah, it's crazy. So,
yeah, fourth and 23 is like an easy conversion in Madden. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the purples don't go that deep, neither do the actual
cloud flats or hook zone.
Nothing you can do to stop it, really, outside of user or getting pressure on the quarterback.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with the route running next year and deep posts and everything and how the game plays. And I don't know. You mentioned also something with chemistry.
What did I mention about chemistry?
Like overall? Yeah.
I might have forgot.
Don't worry about it. Hey.
what were we talking about chemistry earlier?
I don't know. You bring up chemistry with like power ups and like overalls going up plus ones and I don't know.
I was wondering. So chemistries, I was hoping for more of an increase to kind of everything with chemistries in Madden 19, and I want to know your thoughts on that. So this year, team training, for example, I know you didn't do it. You did it early on though for that plus one zone for. you did power. You think you powered up five things this year, Fox? You're crazy. You did it for the Steelers team training, right?
Yep, it's team training at Steelers. Yep.
So like, we didn't really get anything else after that. We just got the plus ones. I was wondering, like, so in Madden next year, would you want them to kind of expand more on stuff like that? Because it seems like you're not really into power-ups, but it's only because, like, it's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
So they made it, like, worth your while. So if you, instead of going for, like, a plus one, you got, like, a plus three to certain things, and if you had a Steelers kicker, you got, like, a plus, like, three or four kick power. Would that be worth your time to go ahead and invest in those, or no?
I think I've just talked about this on stream before, but what I want for, like, team chemistry, so, like, say if you're able to get a 50, because the rosters are 50 men this year, if you're able to get 50 guys from the Steelers organization onto your roster, I want guys to have, like, plus seven to all stats. So, like, your superstars, your Antonio Brown, your Le'Veons are going to be, like, absolute studs. But then like, you'll have, like, silver cards on your offensive line. So, like, I do want them to do more with, like, team chemistries. Maybe they could do something with, like, college chemistries. Like, I know FIFA does a little bit of that from, like, you know, the clubs and the nationality and whatnot. But, like, I always prefer more depth than less depth. So something like that would be kind of neat. I'm all for it. Bengal?
I think in FIFA, the way that you could say it limits what you can do with your squad, but I like how the chemistry actually matters, and players will play worse if you don't have them on chemistry, and you have to, you know, maybe experiment with different players in different spots to get chemistry onto those players, which lets you use different players. Yeah. Or makes you could say. You know, but does that defeat the purpose of what Madden Ultimate Team is? Just, you know, run whoever you want, wherever, you know. I don't know. But I wish chemistry mattered more. I don't know. I'm probably in the minority there. I don't know if I do. It's
like,
tough.
My whole point is, like, making theme teams and other teams, like, with high-end chemistry, mm-hmm. be able to match up. Maybe not be as great as, like, a full Ultimate Legend, full Golden Ticket team, but be able to actually, like, hang
on
the same field.
It would be cool if you were incentivized to do that.
We were in years past, but the reason why they did it this year is because they can't control what players get what cards. Well, I mean, they can, but they can't at the same damn time. So that's why we didn't get it, because, like, if they were to give us what Gut Fox is saying with the plus seven increase for all these players, a lot of teams would be better than the other players that are kind of forced to use players from that team then. At that point, which is what EA wanted to avoid. Even though I'm for that. I don't give a damn about being forced to use these players. It's better than not having good chemistry to begin with. I'd rather have good chemistry and be stuck with this player than not have good chemistry at all.
Like, is it weird they put out, like, 1,000 cards and put them into the game that just aren't used? Like, bronze, silver, Mm-hmm. I mean, I know gold's a user of the year. Yeah, but like,
they're not using. Like, that's weird to me because, like, even in like it can be the show. There's cards that you probably don't want to use, but you're kind of you're gonna have to, and you try to find value in certain players to help you win these events.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that boy Shrimp.
Named Shrimp, right? Yeah, Ryan Shrimp. Shrimp. Yeah, he was great. they downgraded him, but yeah, he was still pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're trying to find value, and that's what EA could do over here. So that way you're actually getting use out of these players, and if it requires them to have 50 chemistries of, you'd have an entire lineup of Pittsburgh Steelers, then let's do it.
Sign
the
me up.
Teams can actually think, the theme teams can actually be theme teams, as opposed to getting that plus boost to where it's a play rec, which doesn't matter at all.
It's worthless.
Just for overall purposes.
Yeah, it was essentially, I mean, it's not worthless, but it's essentially very limited.
No, it's worthless, it's useless, there's no benefit to build a theme team outside of just using your favorite players.
Yeah.
Team. There's literally no benefit. Whereas last year, there was a benefit to Cowboys chemistry or Steelers chemistry. Steelers that max maybe plus one speed.
So, I want something like that, yeah. Something that makes it super kind of, you know, pushing that direction. But all right, that's it for 18 talk and stuff. And I guess we have comments to go through. And I just want to ask you before we navigate to the comments. Hey, Bengal, you said you got plans for 19. What do you got going on for 19, YouTube-wise? Can you tell people about the kind of content you're thinking of, or you want to keep it under wraps?
Collaborations?
I wish. I think collabs would be so cool just for content, get everybody out there, but I don't know. People are weird. People are weird about collabs sometimes.
Why is that?
It's hard to get schedules going. I mean, you ever try collabing with Cullenberger? Oh, yeah, for sure. And then it never happens at that time. And then it's like, oh, fourth time's a charm? All right, finally. And then you get the video out.
That's
fine. But I don't know. I'm going to do an Ultimate Team series. That's what I have planned.
Is it like a power-up Peterson?
Yeah, like that. I had two series planned for 18 that Texas knows about that never came to fruition. I just didn't do
it. You put it on Twitter. You put it in like in. You actually put it on your Twitter profile, so everybody knows about it.
Well, who remembers? I was gonna do a Danian Tomlinson versus Lawrence Taylor type series, but I didn't know how to make it work. And also, I didn't really like Ultimate Team, so I stopped doing that. I was gonna do like a Land of Collins because you just Landon, but I didn't feel like doing it.
Nailed it.
So, I can say I'd like to do an Ultimate Team series. Hopefully, I do.
All right. How about you, Tex? What are you thinking for next year?
I know I'm going to dabble into some CFM stuff with the game now being on PC because I have actual control. Because a lot of stuff I want to do that I did not have an opportunity to do this year because it took me 7 hours to just make one roster.
Yeah.
But now with the whole, I can just import stuff over. I can create my own stuff. It's going to be so much easier. Especially on PC, if you want to get, more into, editing and visual effects, it's going to look much better, especially running at 60 frames per second. And so probably dabble into more creative stuff that I've been wanting to do for a while. Get this what-if thing I've been trying to do, a realistic what-if thing.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to, use back. We're kind of late to the podcast. So Cam Newton, if you notice or not, when he came out of Blinn University after getting kicked out of Florida, or I think he quit after he left Florida, he got recruited to play tight end for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay.
Instead of playing quarterback for Mark Richt? That was a coach at the time? Bengal?
I don't fucking know.
I don't watch college football, but I thought you might know. I think it was Mark Richt at the
that's
time.
That's not so Mark. You're talking about Georgia's head coach at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it was Mark Richt. And so instead of playing, and if Cam went there to play quarterback, things would have changed, obviously. But what if Cam would have just said, I play quarterback, so they go to Auburn? What would have happened that year? And so you look at some of the stuff and then see how he would have fared out in the NFL. Because tight ends weren't a premium like they were back then. I think the best tight end taken in the 2010 draft was Kyle Rudolph. So I got to figure out some storyline.
Was Aaron Hernandez in the 2010 draft?
It would have been the 11 draft he'd been taken in, because it was the 2010 draft, looking at the tight ends that were available. Plus, we can't talk about he who shall not be named because of things that he did.
he's still in the headlines, man.
And now everybody's out here looking for tight ends that are built basically like Cam. So I wonder how things would have changed. So I kind of want to make a storyline like that and just kind of go through what would have happened and go through some what his numbers possibly would have been in that Georgia offense.
It's a good
for somebody that's just physical as Cam is.
Yeah, that's a good idea for a vintage.
Yeah, just stuff like that. Because
he was in the 2010 draft, by the way.
Kyle Rudolph?
Nah.
Oh, the other guy.
Hernandez.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. So, yeah, he was obvious, but he doesn't exist anymore, so we can't say
that's true.
Can we still mention him? It's like WWE with Chris Benoit.
He's dead to me.
Isn't he dead to everybody?
I was going to say that's how you end the podcast on that joke right there. That's it, guys.
We gotta go through comments here quick. Hey, Bengal.
Wait, real quick. What about you, Gutflash? You gonna still do the?
Yeah, what are you up to?
Reviews.
I'm
change it up.
If I get editing to work out, I'm trying to outsource it. I've tried three editors before, so I've contacted a couple others. We'll see if that works. If I can get some editors to edit gameplay, then I'd stream a lot more, and that's kind of what I want to do. Like, my focus during 18 was on strictly streaming and player reviews. I burned out because, you know, working a full-time job. I took a two-week vacation to start 18, and then going back to that, I just couldn't keep streaming and do my daily content and stream. So hopefully with streaming, and then I could get an editor to do videos for me, and then basically that kind of content, and then maybe some more testing and some more older GutFox stuff, but we'll see on the reviews. I'm currently up in the air about them versus regular
games. You guys edit, bro. Hit them up.
Yeah.
Good way to get some money. Looking for a job. You're going to know it's better to do with your life.
Yeah.
Like on IDC, ID, whatever that college is, or that night school that guy. What was that commercial that guy used to pimp out on, like, Maury Television?
I don't know.
You got no DeVry idea. Is one?
No, ITT it wasn't DeVry. Tech? It was like, you ain't doing with your life. You sit on your couch. You ain't doing anything. Do something with your life.
Oh, yeah, I actually do remember that one. I don't remember.
Well, I don't remember the college you was pimping out. But
University of Phoenix, maybe? I mean, who knows?
Something like that. Just get it for GutFox.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the economy the way it is, it's hard to find talent, right? Isn't there, like, help wanted signs everywhere? Like, it's a good, like, it's hard to find people nowadays, right? Isn't the job market kind of strong? I don't know. But anyways, hey, so question. Hey, Bengal, what do you think about the controversy? I know you were very reserved about the person stealing content, and Eric Rayweather spoke on it too. What's your take on people taking content and then uploading it as their own?
Not a huge fan, if I must be honest. Not a huge fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody. I've made my opinions known. I think there's a right way to do something, and I think there would have been no issue from anybody if you said, hey, even you don't even have to ask permission. That's a courtesy, not a, you know, you don't have to do that. But if you were to say, hey, I got this footage from this guy. The link to the original video is in the top line of the description. Everything would have been fine. No one would have complained at all. There would be absolutely no issue. But if you're going to say, you know, if you're like, you know, talking shit about guys just taking the videos, overlaying your face cam, it's an entirely separate issue, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that's well said. And I think that was quite a bit of controversy in the community. And I don't know. I guess we made our thoughts known about it last week with Eric, and hopefully that's in our past, but I guarantee we're going to have the same issue next year, just because there's so much money and so much quote unquote clout or YouTube subscribers to be gained from early footage of a game. So we'll see it again, but it's not going to change anything.
In my opinion, just one last thing. I think that there's a type of subscriber you want to gain, and the type of subscriber that someone who's invested in YouTube is looking for is not someone that's subscribing to you for news before the game launches. It's your actual content year-round. And if people are watching you before the game because you have inside information, but then not when the game's actually out, those subscribers are fucking useless. So
yeah, a subscriber is still a subscriber. Like, if you have
they're
10...
Not, though,
if you have,
a view isn't the same as... You know, a subscriber could be subscribed for your stuff, but then they're not watching your videos, which it equates to, if you're looking at it from a financial perspective, you're not gaining any money off that subscriber. So that, you know, in theory, if you're financially motivated, they wouldn't matter the way someone with you know, consistently watching your videos would matter.
Well,
I agree. Go ahead, Fox.
After you, Tex. I'll make a point later.
No, you got it.
Okay.
I was going to make the point that networks look at numbers. Not networks, but like sponsors. Sometimes look at numbers as opposed to looking at views. So you can turn that subscriber into potential huge money if you work the system right.
Yeah, I need to pick up some sponsors.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, like, the ratio of views to subscribers and subscribers to continued viewers, it's always low. You're always losing people. You just hope, because people move on from Madden pretty quickly. A lot of years, like people that I started the channel with, that I talked with regularly, there's maybe like one or two left from my first. You know, I didn't really grow very fast. I think I put out like 45, 46 videos before I crossed the number of subscribers greater than the number of videos I had out. But basically, if you're able to turn a channel from zero to 20, 30,000 in a summer based off this footage, and basically being able to do that, you so
who's
what?
Doing that?
Well, the person did it last year.
Did they really?
Yeah. So
they've been saying it nothing for a while then, huh?
So... it may have been up 20, and then they maybe gained 10 over the year. But so being able to do that, you're still going to have some people come back and watch your channel because they're still subscribed. It's still in their sub box. So even though you're not going to get as many, you're still gaining a ton of people that will potentially watch you if you put out a good titled video. So it's still a big deal, and those people will watch you again because they've watched you once before, and they subscribe to you for some reason. So even though they're maybe not like the high MVP subscribers like you talk about, they still matter and they still can be converted into that. Like, if you build your channel being, like, not necessarily this exact example. Say you're like the biggest scumbag in the world. You build your channel, you get a ton of subscribers off being a big scumbag. Everybody always looks for a redemption story, right? Just tell everybody, oh, I changed. And then you can change and everybody forgives you, right? Like, people are like, you'll be defended. Like, if you did something 3 years ago, he was like, ah, that was 3 years ago. Who cares about that anymore, right? So, I don't know. It's a definite way to build a channel and keep a channel. But, all right, let's move on to the next question. What's your guys' favorite offensive playbook from 18? As Shroot Farms. Tex.
That's a good question. So, like, it depends, because, like, I've been running Gun the entire past, like, 3 years, but if I had to choose a non-playbook that was an alternate, probably the Broncos.
Okay, that's a good playbook. Underrated, I think. What about you, Bengal?
Yeah, Broncos for me, too.
Nice.
I think.
I think New England's probably my favorite.
That was my second.
Nice. And then Jags is what I've been running for, like, 6 months, so maybe that is my favorite by now. All right, next question is... will this training point system make the market more expensive and reduce the frequency of cards up for auction? Text? T-Reg asked that.
It depends on... I don't think it's going to, because people still rather probably have the coins than actually have to be out here quick selling cards. So I think what will end up happening is, unless the chemistries are great, then we probably won't see that. But the chemistries are, like, ridiculous, and you actually have to go out and pick them up. Cause talking to Jake Stein out there about Kims and stuff, he said their plan is to kind of slow roll it out, and if they feel the need to increase it for the plus ones and twos and threes, they'll do that. But initially, it's not going to be the case. So if the chemistry's only, like, plus one early on, they'll probably not end up seeing them be as used frequently, I believe.
Yeah.
So market should be – the market may – be what it is now, where you can just buy cards for 500 coins.
Yeah, I don't know. The market's gonna be a weird thing with that change next year with being able to get training points off the low end cards.
Yeah, we'll find out eventually though, like what the value is though, because it may be better just quick sell an elite card that goes for like 10K than this a quick sell just a silver card.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Yeah, so Bengal, have you looked much into the training point system for next year?
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. We'll just move on. Hey, Tex, Deontay Williamson wants us to do like a undisputed style type of deal where we just argue and rant, not necessarily about mutt stuff. What's your schedule
first
like?
Take on us?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a Shannon Sharpe in the situation with the mask on? With the goat mask?
I feel like you can pull off his biceps better than I can.
My biceps are... I got muscle, but they're surrounded by fat. So, like, I feel like I got that Skip Bayless body type.
It'd be tough.
It'd be kind of interesting just to do something like that for Madden, though, just to argue about, like, sports. I feel like Bingle and Click should do that, though, more than we should.
I was thinking about the same two names, yeah.
I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Yeah. You talking shit about Clickwood just makes it even better. You know that, right?
Yeah, he listens to the podcast. Say what you got to say, bro. He'll respond to you in kind.
Nah, I just think Clickwood and I defer on opinions a lot, and I think we were having a discussion the other day about college running backs. I jumped in real quick, and he just started bringing up return numbers. I'm like, are you fucking serious right now?
Yeah, that'd be great TV. I was enjoying our Twitter conversation. I mean, Wills was wrong when we pushed up in top five, but like, if y'all want to get on video and talk about that, that'd be great.
I think I would need to have more of a gathered respect for someone's opinion on the matter. There's no nice way to say that. I like Clickwood. I just think that he's going to ride a certain opinion more so than actually realizing the facts on it.
Isn't that what makes it good, the fact that you guys disagree?
That's what makes it perfect.
I don't like to argue that much anymore, because I think that...
What are you talking about?
No, because anyone that argues over the internet, I think, is overall stupid.
You'll be arguing in person over Skype, yeah, and video, with green screens in the background. Like, and a fake
I think no one is going to win an argument ever. That's like pretty much where I stand on that now, because...
Well, especially in today's age, because you can just Google information. Like, you can say,
Everyone's just too stubborn.
Numbers. Like, you can Google, is this guy a Hall of Famer? And then, like, you can say, no, yes. And then you look on the internet, oh, yeah, he is, because the numbers say he is. Whereas back in the day, you could just argue.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's actual factual numbers to dispute your point. So, but I would love to see that, though. I just like the whole sports debate with guys in the community, and I think that's what we need as a different evolution of podcast form. Somebody that's just out here just going to task and speaking their truth.
Do you guys know King of the Fourth Quarter?
No.
Great guy, NBA content creator. Not so much just 2K, but like NBA videos and stuff like that. And he has this podcast called Through the Wire. Quick plug. I don't know. It's a huge podcast. I mean, if you look it up on sports podcasts, it's near the top. Or it was for a while, at least. And he's a YouTube guy. And so I'm saying, if we did something, you know, with the Madden guys and talk football and sports and things like that, I mean, it could do numbers.
And I'm make it happen.
Yeah, well, I don't want to do that.
Just make it happen.
I'd be on it. You and Swami have something on Twitch.
You're
going
to find another partner because Swami decided to leave you.
Fucking that piece of shit. No. Swami, he's like, you know, I just don't like you anymore. I'm like, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't even like you that much.
He blew up and forgot all about you, huh?
Yeah. Like Riff Raff once famously said, I just want to blow up and
act like I don't know
act
nobody.
Act like I don't know nobody. That's it.
Yeah, classic line.
I was actually quoted by Riff Raff from Moonlight Swami.
Wow. Hmm. You never would have guessed that, Swami.
You wouldn't, but yes.
Yeah. He puts on a good act. I'll give him that.
Acts like you think you know a guy is all I'm going to say. And
yeah. Next thing. All right, John Carpino, your question about, powering up a car next year, you're exactly correct. So if you remember your question from last week, I'm not going to go over it. It's basically, he's just describing how to put chems on a card. Yeah, that is correct. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. Hey, can you guys, I'm going to say these words out loud. Can you guys interpret them for me?
Hmm.
Carrie Gaines says, I have a newfound respect for Eric Rayweather. That's not my question part. I was thinking, Tex, we need the funk flex bombs. New idea, funk Tex bombs to drop during gems. He was low-key saying SMDF, well, suck my dick from the back, the whole interview in subliminal. What does that mean?
I can translate this.
The funk bomb? Okay, so you got it? You got it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so funk flex is a popular radio DJ. I'm not sure anybody actually likes him, but people know about him.
That's an accurate assessment. So accurate.
And now I'm not familiar with the funk flex texts or funk, whatever the fuck he said, but it seems to be some type of a thing that's similar to the weekly text message.
Oh, okay.
And it seems like a variation where text would subliminally somehow, I don't know how you do that audibly, but subliminally suck somebody's dick from behind. I'm a little bit mixed on that last part, as I don't have the text in front of me, but something along those lines.
Okay, all right. So this is the funk flex bomb. Whenever somebody says something that's like controversial, that's taking shots at somebody else, you play the bomb. Usually for something that's usually after a rapper says a crazy line in the song, that's like mind blowing. He plays the funk bomb, whatever a song that's played that is super duper dope. Funk bomb. Same thing with anything controversial that's disparaging towards another man. Like, so when Drake was getting dissed by Pusha T, when he said you're hiding a child, funk flex bomb would have dropped right there.
Huh.
Just because it's just kind of just accents stuff. It's just like shots being fired. So
we need a macro to push when something like that happens.
I mean, I got a stream deck right now, so if anything were to get said, like being wants to take out one of these other YouTubers, I can just play it.
Oh yeah, you totally got to do it.
You got any opinions about any other YouTubers? You want say what you said about Clickwood again, and I'll play the bomb.
Clickwood a bitch. I like Clickwood. Clickwood's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
That's not really bomb worthy, but he's.
We already got the bomb. We got the sound bomb. I'm gonna clip that out, put it on Twitter.
All right.
Yeah. Is there any way you could have like a sarcasm thing? How would you vocalize sarcasm after like Bengals like, oh, he's a good guy, then Texas the sarcasm button? It's like Bengals like, no, I really mean like. I think
yeah, Clickwood's my favorite.
Where's the sarcasm text?
I don't have that button. Oh. I could just play Pinocchio like laughing.
Is that the same?
No, but it's all I got.
Better nothing, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Hey, J-Rock says, text, help push God Fox do movie reviews. I'd like to hear his input on upcoming movies.
You are passionate about Star Wars, bro. You were really mad with The Last Jedi.
It was terrible.
Never seen any Star Wars.
That's a terrible take from Bengal. What's up?
It's not a take. It's true.
I know.
I've never seen any.
You should.
I mean, no, you shouldn't.
I'm not going to.
All right. You're never going to get kissed on the mouth until you see the Star Wars. It's a fact.
I'm okay with that.
Do not watch a movie that was.
I'll die a mouth kiss virgin.
No. I'm cool. I'm right there with you, bro. Right there with you. But yeah, you were kind of mad at The Last Jedi. People are out here campaigning that The Last Jedi remade.
That's dumb. That GoFundMe. That's obviously not going to happen. Somebody just.
Yeah, you should do a second channel, Gut Fox Foxtails. Let's talk about your.
If I could pack it into like the 10 minutes of free time I have a week.
You can do it on the way. You can do it your commute to your job.
That's a good point. I do got a little bit of that now.
Just do that. Just mean you're calling your phone, just talking, and just edit it later.
Yeah. Osiris Supreme brought up last week that he also noticed the users not getting animations in the Madden 19 at EA Play. So look for that to continue into Madden 19. I wonder if they'll keep the nerfed animations. But we shouldn't talk anymore about Madden 19. But that's it for the podcast. Anything else you guys want to say before we head out? Everybody check out Bengals channel linked in the description. Great guest, greater guy, and better arguer on the internet.
I've had to shit my pants for like an hour. I don't know how I've held this back. That's not even a joke.
What you gotta do?
I'm gonna shit in my pants.
All right, we'll let you go.
It's what we call a Bengal bomb.
A Bengal bomb.
All right, we out.
All right, take it easy.